Yay!
All right, we'll begin council in 2 minutes. Let you get all settled. Well, excuse me, everyone showed up at 6. I'd start at 6. Second, what time did you show up? You gotta be early, so we can start at 6. Okay. I'll just go ahead. You can do that probably right now. Thanks. Is that even recording?
Yeah.
All right. We'll call this meeting to order at 6:08 p.m. Before I get on to speaker's business, according to standing orders, I have to read this. So please, hopefully my pronunciation is correct. If it's not, let me know, and I'll correct it. We would like to acknowledge that our university and our students' union are located on Treaty 6 territory. We are grateful to be on Cree, Sauteuil, Métis, Blackfoot, and Nakota Sioux territory. Specifically, the ancestral space of the Papa Chase Cree. These nations are family, friends, faculty, staff, students, and peers. As members of the University of Alberta Students' Union, we honor the nation-to-nation treaty relationship. We aspire for our learning, research, teaching, and governance to acknowledge continuing colonial violence and respect Indigenous knowledges and traditions. All right. That being said, we will have our former speaker, Mr. Turner, come and do the installation ceremony.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As my last official act as outgoing speaker, it's my duty to install you as the new Students' Council. And so on your order papers, you will have a copy of the Council Oath, which you will read once per trimester, but we'll read it tonight. If you guys wouldn't mind standing. And I'll start you off, and then hopefully I don't have to lead too much. 1, 2, 3. I am
not here for me. I am here for the people who have lent me their power in exchange for a promise. I will keep that promise to make decisions with their interests in mind. I will vote after knowing the facts, not before. I will use Robert's rules for their purpose, not my own. I will propose ideas, not people. I will think before I speak, not speak just to think. I will take the job seriously or not take the job at all. I will represent my students' interests, not my own. I am not here for me.
And with that, I officially install you as the 2014-2015 Students' Council and wish you a wonderful year. Thank you.
All right. That being said, announcements. The next meeting of Students' Council will take place on Tuesday, May 20th, 2014. With that, we'll take attendance. William Lau. President Lau, sorry.
President.
Vice President Ordzik.
Present.
Vice President Kinda.
Present.
Vice President Hodgson.
Present.
Vice President Diaz.
Aye.
Governor Hansera.
Present.
Ms. Wafer, Councillor Allard.
Present.
Councillor Chen.
Here.
Councillor Bannister. Councillor Muhammad.
Present.
Councillor Sleeman. Also, please let me know if I mispronounce your names. I don't want to mispronounce them all year long. Councillor Zhang.
Here.
Councillor Jaddick.
Yep. Present.
Councillor Gruelke.
Present.
Councillor Bryce. Councillor Babatunde.
Present.
Councillor Horvat.
Present.
Councillor Fedosky.
Present.
Mr. Malik for Councillor Jacobson.
Awesome, Malik.
Councillor Wong.
Present.
Councillor Gard.
Put him on. Get my first rotation.
Councillor Gore. Councillor Khan. Councillor Krutzi. Miss Madamin Shawanda for Councillor Morris. Did I pronounce that correctly?
No.
Sorry. Councillor Makhdoum. Councillor Bhatia. Councillor Hooper.
Present.
Councillor Champagne.
Present.
Councillor Binchik.
Present.
Oh, man. Councillor Zinedine.
Present.
Is that pronounced correctly?
Perfect.
Councillor Kwan.
Present.
Councillor Peak.
Present.
Councillor Huang.
Present.
Councillor Farouk.
Yeah.
And Councillor Hudson.
Present.
Perfect. Yes, Councillor Binchik.
I'd like to make a motion to move the Students' Council Engagement Task Force recommendations presentation to the main agenda. And do I need to make an introduction?
We'll look for a second. Councillor Muhammad. Please introduce Councillor Binchik.
Thank you. So this is a presentation on a task force that was created last year. I believe it's very important that Council hears it at its first meeting simply because it will set the right mindset on what we need to work on, what were the problems that we discovered last year. And I simply missed the deadline by about 2 hours. I got really confused. I'm really sorry about that. I hope it's not a problem. And if it's not enough time for some counselors to read through the recommendations document that was on the late additions, I definitely assure you that reading it after the presentation will make just as much sense. Thank you. I got into discussion a little bit.
Point of order, Mr. Speaker?
Yes,
I believe in order to move something from the latest additions onto the main agenda, we need to suspend standing orders, which is non-debatable.
Technically, the motion that was made was to special order this item, which is a debatable motion, I believe. Yes, thank you, Mr. Turner. Now, in order to further suspend standing orders, we can do that after Councillor Olchik's motion is passed. So,
point of parliamentary inquiry.
Yep.
I'm not trying to make this presentation appear first on the agenda, just to make it possible to appear.
Just move it on to the main agenda.
Yeah.
Vice President Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to speak against this motion. I am interested in hearing the SCEP presentation at some point in time, but we do have certain standards when it comes to moving or a precedent is set from on moving items on the late additions onto the main agenda. We have that deadline so that people have time to read over materials and prepare for the meeting. And generally, we only move an item when it's time sensitive, and the organization could suffer harm by not addressing it at an earlier time. So I think that the SCEP presentation is awesome, and we will hear it at some point, and it's easy enough to hear it at the next council meeting.
Does anyone wish to speak in favor of the motion? Yes, Councillor Muhammad.
I just hate spending like half an hour debating whether or not we want to hear a half hour presentation, but I don't know, like this is important to hear, we can do it. Yeah, I think we should
add something. The feedback that we get from this presentation will determine the pathway that CAC will take this year and the things that we'll be discussing in detail starting on next meeting. And there also will be major changes to how council runs and the connections that it has with faculty associations, with international students, and with regular students as well.
Governor Hatcher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd also like to speak against this motion. I'm fully aware of the councillors' work on this initiative. I don't see any urgency. I'd like to echo what Vice President Hodgson said. There are certain rules put in place for council. Those rules should be followed. And obviously, at certain times, those rules can be broken. However, they're under special circumstances which are urgent. I don't see any urgency in having this initiative spoken today. This is the second-year councillor, who's a first-year councillor. I would be a little bit more sympathetic. But the second-year councillor, the councillor knows the rules. The councillor was negligent, and as a result, he didn't. As a result of their own negligence, Mr. Speaker, we didn't get this. The council was able to get the presentation on time. As a result, there is no urgency. Everything can be delayed. This initiative, by well intentioned, will not be obstructed in any way if we hear this meeting, this presentation at next council. Thank you.
Yes, Vice President Diaz.
Can I call the question?
Yes, you may. Let's review this here, because I'm also new to this. Call the question. So call the question, I believe, is not debatable and not amendable. Let me pull out the third document I'm trying to see here. Sorry, just give me 1 second here as I pull this up. So I believe, I can't find it here, but I believe a call to question motion is not debatable, not amendable, and requires a two-thirds majority. So, the question has been called. Is there a second to call to question? Councillor Gruelke, all those in favor of calling to question, please raise your placards. All those opposed? Abstentions? Be noted. Perfect. The question is put. So all those in favor of special ordering, presentation, get the formal title of the presentation here. Presentation entitled Students Council Engagement Task Force Recommendations, to move those from the late editions to the main agenda. All those in favor of moving this from the late editions to the main agenda, please raise your placards. All those opposed? That vote does not carry. Moving on, just going to mention before I entertain Councillor Muhammad's motion, I will be special ordering item 2C presentations, as well as item 7J and 7K. So one presentation as well as two motions. Councillor Muhammad. Sure. Motions that were special ordered were 7J and 7K. Just to clarify what 7K means by just saying nominating committee is that there's an error made. There's a small error. But basically what ended up happening is that seven councillors were nominated to the nominating committee instead of just five, with the Vice President Academic and the Vice President External sitting as ex officio members. So we'll have to redo that process. I'll explain that when we get there, but just so that council is aware of that situation. I think I tried emailing council with all that information, so hopefully that was a little bit clear in my email, but we'll see. Councillor Muhammad.
link to special order of this presentation on tonight's agenda.
Is there a second to special order of this presentation? Councillor Brookie? Mr. Mahalan, would you care to introduce?
Yeah, I'll just take 2 minutes. So I sent everyone an email. So the reason why I'm specially ordering this is I was at a youth camp, so I just completely forgot to put on the main agenda. That was my mistake, so I apologize for that. The last 20 seconds showed that somebody can make a mistake, but then council can still, you know, rectify that mistake. The two people who are presenting from Worcester are here. I think it'd be great for them to present. Also, we are selecting two councillors to sit on WASC. There wasn't any communication done last year with the two councillors that were selected to sit on WASC. And I feel like with the group that's so important, it requires us to, you know, see what they actually do, because not many people here know what WASC does, especially the fact that every single student you represent pays money to it, which is really interesting. We're hearing from one of the refugees who came under this program, and yeah, so I don't want to take any more of your time, but I hope that we can hear this presentation.
Vice President Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to speak against this motion for the exact same reason I spoke against the previous one. This is not time sensitive. There is no risk to the organization by not having this presentation. To address some of Councillor Mohammed's points, we are appointing two members of council to this to WASC, but we will have the ability to introduce WASC and what it does, and I can defer my speaking term to the attendees in the room in order to explain what WASC is a bit, so they will have the opportunity to speak. If we were to have a presentation on every single body that we're appointing to, it's seven presentations, it's literally undoable. So I don't think we need a full presentation. We, at some point, having a full presentation on WASC is a fantastic idea. We absolutely should, but it doesn't merit special ordering.
Thank you, President Hodgson. Councilor Mohammed.
Yeah, just on that note, I think we should know what the other seven things do. That's just the personal opinion. Both, like, the fact is they were going to present. I just made that mistake. So that's all I need. But I don't think the 6 minute intro would do any justice versus a presentation which they prepared for and all that. And I think this meeting is the best meeting throughout the whole year to have this presentation, just because of the seriousness of having two counselors sitting on the board of a group that's going to be holding a referendum this year, which is huge. So I think the two counselors should know what they're getting into, and I think council should know what they're getting into when somebody asks them, why does this group want more money from me or what have you? And it's good to start on the foot where we have information on this topic. Yeah, that's my speaking turn.
All right, then.
Can I take it back?
I didn't hear anything, Councillor Mohammed.
Okay. Yeah, and also I try to reach out to all the councillors, and a lot of them said they were okay with hearing it. I haven't had very many negative reactions, so I reached out right when I realized on the Friday.
Call to question, please.
Mr. Malik has called to question. Is there a seconder to call to question? All right, Councillor Gore. Like I said earlier, call to question is not debatable, non-amendable, and requires a two-thirds majority. All those in favor of calling to question, please raise your placards. All those opposed? Wonderful. So the question is put. Just to clarify, when special ordering items, special ordering requires a two-thirds majority. So the motion on the table is to special order the WASC presentation from the late additions to the main agenda. All those in favor of special ordering this item, please raise your placards. All those opposed? Any abstentions that wish to be noted? Perfect. That motion carries. So the WASC presentation has also been special ordered to the main agenda. All right. Moving on. To reorganize things a little bit, because we have our presenters from WASC here, I'll special order that item to the beginning of presentations, followed by the presentation on GovCamp, and then I'll make the third presentation on Robert's Rules. So, do you have the presentation with you?
No, I don't
have
my email, though.
Okay.
Because we went to
the Tennessee Madison. Sorry, I'll try to...
We are from Usk, which you guys pay money for 45 cents every semester to sponsor refugee students.
So Usk is the World University Service of Canada. I have been involved for 2 years, going on to 3 years. I am the co-chair along with JD, and JD was a former refugee student supported in 2011. So as many of you probably don't know what Usk is, I will explain to you. So I'm going to refer to it as WISC so I don't say World University Service of Canada. So what it is it supports refugee education. So for most refugees, there are few or no opportunities for them to pursue post-secondary education or any level of education. So since 1978, for 35 years, this program has been running, and the WISC Student Refugee Program, which is SRP, which I'll refer to as SRP, has helped address this shortage by enabling student refugees to pursue their studies at Canadian universities and colleges. So this program provides durable solutions to refugee students by aiding them to follow their academic goals. So in addition, as it is the only program in Canada that links resettlement with post-secondary education, the SRP offers unique, effective, and long-term solutions for the refugees it sponsors, by gaining status of all associated rights of being a permanent resident. So as the program is exercised throughout Canada by over 61 universities and colleges, this allows over 70 talented and bright students to attend our institutions. And JD will just explain like how they get to attend our institutions.
Okay, so when you guys go to schools, most schools are in Canada, over 70 universities and colleges, they have a levy of less than $5 for every student. For you, it's 45 cents only, but for other schools like UBC, it's like $2, or UFC, it's like $2.5 too. So that money is collected to help refugees to gain education. For you, we are lucky because the registrar's office is supportive and they waive the tuition, so the refugees don't pay tuition. The money from the SU goes to pay for accommodation and upkeep and stuff like that.
Okay, so I'll explain the impact that it has on certain individuals. So I'll explain a case with Alfred Orono, who was a child soldier, and he did get sponsored in 1995 by the U of A WUS Committee. So
He went on to pursue a law degree, and he became a criminologist. So with that, he served as a prosecutor for the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda. And now I would like to let JD explain his personal story of being a refugee student.
Okay, so my name is JD, as I said before. I'm a third year poli sci major, a Middle East and African Studies minor. I was born in Rwanda, and 20 years ago, as many of you know, we had some genocide stuff going on, and had to flee, and I lived in a refugee camp for more than 10 years. And in 2011, I applied to WUSC program to come to UofA to study, because I couldn't start, get education in a refugee camp.
So I will explain an introduction to the referendum and what we are wanting to do. So the current amount is 45 cents, which we take a levy out of the undergraduate students' tuition. So that comes out of all the undergraduate students' tuition. And what we want to do is increase it to $1. So we'd increase it by 50 cents. And what that would do is we want to bring two students, to bring one female and one male, because for the past 5 years, there's only been male students coming to be sponsored as students. And I believe if we had a male and a female, that would help promote the gender equality and also help a female attain their educational goals, since it's way harder for them to go to post-secondary education since they are more involved in the domestic tasks that they have to take care of. So they have no time to study and reach the level that most of the men are able to reach in their academics. So for the past 25 years, U of A has been involved in the SRP program, even though the program has been here for 35 years. So with the referendum, since we've been discussing this for a couple of years, since we've wanted to increase the levy, we've set some guidelines for what we need to do to ensure that the referendum does get voted through by the students, since even if it is a 50-cent levy, it does impact the students' tuition, because tuition is really high for them. So what we're doing is we want to promote this to students, go to class talks, make sure that they understand how it'll benefit the students' lives and our students at University of Alberta. Because seeing as though we will be the only university in Alberta supporting two refugee students and doing the implementation of one female, one male, I believe that this will bring publicity to the university, seeing as though it is helping the refugees as well. So there's also, I would just like to explain that there's a University of Calgary that does WUSC, there's Campus Saint-Jean, and there's also Grant Mac and our campus. So Grant Mac supports for 2 years, and U of Calgary, I believe, supports for 2 years as well, and they only support one student. So I believe that by doing this, then U of A will be seen as promoting gender equality and international student rights, but mostly for refugee students. So that's what I think will be the benefit for the U of A. And
I think if we do that, we'll be like uplifting the whole people, as the U of A mission is. Like, it's not about books only. We have to impact other people's lives too by this 50 cents increase on the previous amount, which of 45 cents.
And we would also like to present a video to you guys. So this is just explaining how I said before that we have made some guidelines for how to go through the referendum. So we have a strong group of volunteers who are very passionate and who are willing to go far with this and promote the referendum to other students so they can see how it will benefit both the university and them and the other student who will be coming. Sorry. Excuse me. I have no idea what I just did. Should I press enter and stop this? What? Oh, there we go. Okay, so we'd like to present you a video on our current refugee students, Omar's rendition on snow. So Omar was a refugee from
Somalia,
and he's studying sciences now. So this is just an audio recording of what he says with a video.
But later on, the other day, like my first day I saw snow, was snow, I never knew that snow was like a border. I knew that snow is like an ice block. But when I saw the snow, people were telling me, and this is snow. I said, no, this is not the snow, because the snow, I knew that it's like, it's a brick structure. My first, like, when I just found myself in this cold area, I mean, in the winter, I used to put on heavy jackets, like, t-shirt, and hoodie, and another very heavy jacket. And then in my classmates, they were saying, Sean, you have a lot of jackets. I told them, no, I've never been to such a cold area, because I was from positive 45 to negative 40, so I should take care of myself. But now, you see, I'm just putting on a big light jacket.
That's Omar's rendition on snow. So,
if you guys have questions, I just have comments. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your presentation.
No.
So, two parts on increase. Is it going to go towards bringing the student here, or bringing the student here and paying for his tuition?
Sorry, did you say 55 cents or 50?
Well, it goes from 45.
Yeah, $2.
Yeah.
Okay. So, since the tuition is waived, then they don't have to pay for tuition for 4 years. That 50-cent increase will help the other student have the residency cost covered for 1 year, and then for the next 3 years, because they can't support like living here with all the money, costs for buying food, for buying clothing, and buying their book supplies and stuff. That also helps with the other students, as you said, accommodations.
Accommodation. Yeah. Sorry. But who pays for the tuition? It's waived by the registrar's office. It's waived by the registrars, right? Yeah.
That's President Kinder.
Thank you for your presentation. I'm a big fan of the SRP program. So I just have a quick question. Two questions for the same topic. So why has it previously been just one male student, and how will the extra 55 cents specifically help bring a female student? Does that make sense?
Okay, so it's only been a male student because the female students usually don't have the, like, when we're choosing the students, we can't base it, like, I want to base it on a personal thing because I would love to bring all of them. But we also have to base it on their academic achievement on the TOEFL exam. So mostly the females don't have a higher level on the TOEFL exam since they don't have enough time to study. So we can only admit the males since they're the ones who get the higher marks. So what I want to do is, even if the females do have a lower mark, I want to make sure that they can come to change their lives, because they also go back and change their communities like the males. And sorry, you said the 55 cents, how it helps with the female coming? So since the 45 cents only helps with one student for the 4 years, then increasing it by another 55 cents, then it'll help the other student come as well. And since there will be at least 10 cents left for the, extra, then we'll put that into another savings for the other students for next year, so we don't just take the money and waste it on other things, because there's also the travel costs that we have to raise ourselves for them to come, because they can't pay $2,000 to come here. So I hope that answered your question.
This way.
Thank you for the presentation. So I've been aware of WISC for the last 4 years, and also a fan. But I've been under the impression that WISC has struggled with the 45-cent levy as it's inadequate for current cost of living. And with the inflation in terms of living costs and some barriers of WISC for increasing the levy, I'm curious as to why you're doubling it without really increasing 45-cent per person. If it has been a concern that 45 cents per student across the student body was not enough for one student. So I support the motion of increasing the levy, if that's possible through current SU bylaw, but why aren't you increasing the levy to actually sustain a student? Is that a need?
Well, that's a very good question. Yeah, so when you bring refugee students here, you want to integrate them in Canada. That's why we're making them permanent residents. So like after first year of paying your tuition and accommodation and stuff, we want to make them like every student. So in the second year, we apply for student loans like another student in Canada to support them.
So 45 cents has been adequate?
Yeah, inadequate. So in the second year, you apply for student loan to supplement what's left in the SU coffers.
And so with this current levy, you will continue this practice?
Yeah.
But with the second student, yeah. The same process?
Yeah. Changing more lives, won't make more impact on refugees. Yeah.
Is that a sustainable practice?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so this is something that can last for 10, 20 years into the future?
Yeah, because it's been 25 years so far, so the future supply.
All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Councillor Champagne?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Master McQueen, for the presentation. My question is concerning the UMC at Campus Saint Jean. So, do they bring a student as well as the U of A? And if so, then would that be considered like three students for the U of A? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, that's a very good question. So, 3 years ago, we had a French student at Campus Saint Jean.
Yeah.
So, previously, we used to integrate like one year French student and another year Campus Saint Jean. So if there's a student, he's still there in business.
Okay, thank you.
But Campus Saint-Jean has to do, I think they'd have to do their own referendum as well to be able to bring more students because we're just doing it for main campus, not main campus, sorry, north campus.
Yeah.
So I think that French campus would also have to... Because I've been talking with them as well since I'm involved in Translate. So they want to bring another student, so what we're trying to do is make sure that we're linked up so we can at least somehow help them to get their more students, French students as well, because that's a concern. Since there's only 7 French students out of the 60 SRP students that get chosen every year to come to Canada. So we want to make sure that they can also come to Western universities instead of just going to Quebec. And so that's another concern that we could focus on as well, that I could talk to them about.
Councillor Wayne?
Thank you for your presentation. So you mentioned that other universities have even higher fees, up to $2.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if you guys have any stats on how many students they accept with that kind of a budget.
Oh yeah, some schools they do have 4 students, some schools have 2 students, 3 students, stuff like that.
So UBC, what it is it's based on the amount of students that there are. So if it's an institution has 0 to 3,000, which I'm sure they don't have 0 to 3,000, the levy will be an average of $6. So for example, UBC, they have, I think, around a $4 levy, and they have around more than 20,000 students. So they bring 4 students per year, just to give you an actual example. Yeah.
Councillor Sleeman. Any other questions? Do you want to make any other comments? Okay, Councillor Binchley.
Quick one. This is more so for my information. If Campus Saint Jean were to increase their amount to bring 2 students, would they have to drastically increase their amount since the proportion of students in North Campus and Campus Saint Jean is much, much different? So I assume you're really close in touch with them. So I was just wondering, what can we expect in that regard?
I don't know the levy that the French campus has because I haven't talked to them about that, but I think they would have to because we only have around, I believe, 600 or so students at Campus Saint-Jean, I think so. So that would probably have to be around a $4, $5 levy to ensure that they could bring at least 2 students. And the thing is that they haven't brought a student last year or this year, so I really want them to be able to educate a Francophone refugee as well, so that's a good question.
So last year we had Jessica Nguyen and Blaine Kelly. And Blaine was in Wusk, so previously we had an idea about Wusk. So they usually connect Wusk with the council. Of course, the council represents the students who pays for the SRP program. If we have events like the number of fundraisers to pay this transport loan, so they help to bring the members from the council to our events.
Any other questions or comments? Yes, Ms. Wei.
I'm curious a little bit about how you're going to approach a levy. Sorry, I didn't have time to pull up Bylaw 3000, but my understanding is that there's student union bylaws that may play a part in terms of how you take a levy forward. And so this isn't necessarily a conversation to do this, but seeing as this is future plans, we're not discussing the levy necessarily right now. We're discussing WUSC, but if this is going to be a plan of yours throughout the next year leading to the next into a referendum next year, what is your plan to work around bylaws that would perhaps prevent you immediately from increasing the levy because of current bylaw.
Okay, well, I'm not really aware of the bylaws for the Students' Union, sorry about that. Okay. But I think, well, first of all, I'd have to be informed of the bylaws before having to, because the referendum will be running it at the end probably of fall semester,
yeah.
So I have sufficient time to learn about the bylaws, and I know some of the counselors, so it would be cool to talk about them and learn about the bylaws, so...
Because that, again, that's my impression of why WSCAS has brought a levy forward in the last couple of years. The same bylaws are in place. So I'm just curious as to your plan. So if this is something that you're going to develop, I think it would be very good to work with the counselors that are perhaps brought forward onto your committee to try to find a solution around that.
Councillor Muhammad?
Just for the information of the council, like I looked into this quite a bit with the bylaws. The main restriction is that if they did a referendum last year, then under the current, the old bylaws, they keep their funding no matter what. But if they have a referendum now, they go into a new classification where they have to renew it every 5 years. And right now, there's a few gray areas there. So let's say 5 years down the road, they lose a referendum. Do they keep their original funding, or do they lose it all? Is there a reserve? Like, well, we don't really know. So that's what was the main restriction. But from what I like, it's really complicated. That's why I'm hoping for council to work closely with them. I sit on the bylaw committee, so I'm going to help verify those bylaws. But right now, there's nothing restricting them from going to a referendum, aside from the fact that every 5 years they have to go for another referendum.
Yeah. And currently, they're just grandfathered under previous bylaw.
Yeah, now I think they're like a Class B at Class B, and then they'll become Class D, DFU, which is the designated fee.
Right. Thank you.
Councilor Grofey. Anyone else? Yes.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot. All right, going back to the main agenda, next presentation is the presentation on GovCamp. Currently, we don't have any sponsors for this presentation. Someone wants to sponsor this presentation. Vice President Hodgson, seconded by President Lau. Just a little perception here. Do you guys just want to answer your own questions?
I'll
click the button. I don't know what was going on with this installation.
What a great time to install. All right.
Okay. Yeah, 30 minutes. Go for it.
Hey, hello everybody. I'm Rebecca. I'm the manager of Discover Governance. For those of you who haven't heard of my department, I'm basically here to help any student representatives with questions they have or with any problems they're having. One of the first ways that we help you is by holding a representative association and student council retreat. So you get to come together with faculty associations and do all sorts of like learning, training, and stuff like that. So we're just going to present really briefly on that.
Yep. Interesting history about the council retreat is that formerly it was just counselors, and then faculty associations didn't have a retreat, but now it's actually combined. So it's a council and faculty association retreat, which actually serves the important purpose of building connections between counselors and their faculty associations.
Cool. So we basically just described what GovCamp is. We skipped that. we didn't practice this.
No, we didn't. All right.
So what are some of the sessions? We have three basic types of sessions. There are training ones where we actually walk you through how to do various things, such as students' council or financial reporting if you're on a faculty association, advocacy and things like that. There are planning sessions, so you get to do all sorts of strategic planning as a group. You get to work with your faculty association to do some planning as well, and you can do some personal strategic planning.
Yep. you may be looking at some of these things and going, wait, that doesn't apply to me. But what you would want to know is that when you're actually at GovCamp, you'll be able to choose between two sessions that run simultaneously. So there will be some sessions that are relevant for all attendees and some sessions that are relevant for only counselors or only faculty associations and some sessions that are a mix of both. So this stream timeline actually allows you to choose which sessions you'd like to do as you go through the day.
Hey, we are going to the Vannis Conference Center, which is a lovely venue about 45 minutes out of town. It's going to be really awesome. You go up for the weekend. We pay for all of your like food and everything. It's free. You just kind of come and hang out.
Go to the sessions during the day, social time during the evening.
Yep. So what is there? There's a whole list of things that you get to use. Unfortunately, for those of you who have been on council for a while, you may remember that in the past there has been alcohol at the events. Unfortunately, a lot of venues either require you to bring your own license or do not allow alcohol at all.
This particular one, in exchange for its beauty and glorious outdoorsness, the trade-off is that there's no alcohol allowed.
And lots of other cool stuff.
There's a
pool. You can go swimming. Bring a bathing suit if you feel like swimming. We're going to bring lots of toys and games and stuff.
And Wi-Fi.
It'll be fun.
Yep.
Last year there was no alcohol and it was really awesome. So.
Yeah, it was just fine. I believe there was a raucous game of werewolves.
All right, so how do you sign up? We have some registration packages here. I don't have enough for every single one of you. So if you don't get one today, you can either get it off of the website. So that's su.ualberta.ca/governance. It's right on the Discover Governance front page. There's a link to it. You'll find it. You can print it off yourself, or I will print off more copies if you don't feel like paying for the printing yourself. You can come to my office and pick them up.
Would it possibly be possible to have them emailed out, maybe?
Yes, we can email them out as well.
Okay.
All right. That's about it. So does anybody have any questions?
I'll put my name on the guest list later, but I was just noticed of the sessions. If I recall correctly, I think last year there was one on like diversity or something. And I was just wondering because I know that like the SU exec and some of the like student group leaders get some kind of like diversity training through SGS. And I was just wondering if that was still happening or like why it was taken on.
That one is not happening at GovCamp because we've gotten a lot of negative feedback in the last couple of years that they didn't feel that the session was useful or actually did what it was supposed to be doing, so we've taken it off for this year. And if counselors, if you guys as council kind of want diversity training, we're happy to find ways to bring that to council.
If there's quite a large demand for it, we can do it at the October retreat.
Yeah.
Governor
Hazard? Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. I would never promote alcohol abuse as university students. And based on my previous experience at retreats, and based on my social experiences, alcohol often plays a role in socializing, especially for people our age. So I'm just a little bit more curious, what's the logic behind going to a place that's dry?
I can answer this question. Do you want to go? I go.
Okay. The logic is that there are maybe three or four venues that are actually close to the city that can handle the number of people that we have, and this was the best one for everything else that we need.
And the venue doesn't allow it.
That was like the one. Every other venue maybe allowed alcohol, maybe didn't, but had a whole bunch of things that weren't any good for us. And this venue had everything that was good for us, except it doesn't allow alcohol. So we're not like anti or pro alcohol. It just wasn't.
Yeah.
It just didn't work out. Mm.
Is there establishments around this place that have alcohol?
not sure, but I would discourage people from going off the property to drink for two reasons. One of them is that we bus you out, and there aren't really going to be any vehicles to get you back and forth safely. We don't have any, like, sober monitors or anything. And also, if people are inebriated on the property, we could get fined or you could get kicked off.
So, as a follow-up question, are we able to provide our own transportation?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have to stay the whole weekend? Can we go in on Saturday morning and leave Saturday night, go in on Sunday and leave Sunday night?
You don't. You can, I guess, come and go as you want to. It would be good if you kind of, like, cleared it with us first just so that we know where everybody is for kind of safety reasons, but... Yeah, you don't. There's no obligation to come or go at a specific time. Governor Hatzler?
Following up on that question, how far is this location away from Children's Park?
It's just on one of the range roads. It's about I think a half an hour out of Sherwood Park.
Walking,
I want
to
say. Driving.
Yeah. We haven't driven to it to test it out yet.
Councilor Chemin?
Thank you very much, Ms. McCoo, for the presentation. Possible solution to our dry component maybe would be if Governor Hasler would offer his home Sunday night, so that when we all come back from our hard work retreat, we may all share in a tradition that is consuming alcohol. But, you know, that's up to him. And if you would like to communicate with him, perhaps his benevolence in offering this to council and family members.
If you guys want to go out for a drink Sunday night, then you can organize that on your own, but we're not going to make it an official SU-sponsored alcoholic event, as there are many insurance implications to doing so.
I believe Councillor was next.
Thank you. So you mentioned something about a retreat in October. Are you going to talk about that later?
We'll probably in September or October, August, we'll come back.
That retreat is because we have some by-elections in the fall semester, and then those counselors, it's better for them to get up to speed too, and also better for you guys to follow up on your strategic goal planning that you do on this retreat. Councilor Hobbit?
Yeah, so besides from alcohol, I found the diversity workshop last year really valuable, so I'm kind of disappointed it's gone, but I don't know, I think it's too complicated to reject the whole thing right now, but I do think it's on my goal for council to go through that at least early on. So yeah, but I think what we should do as a council is hear the kind of workshop in half an hour before council meeting for the next few weeks, because I do feel like it's something important. I don't understand why there are objections to it, but if there was, it could be something that we work around.
Councilor?
Just to clear the technical details, is alcohol not allowed in the premises, or alcohol is not allowed to be bought on the premises?
Alcohol is not allowed on the premises, and you're not allowed to be intoxicated on the premises.
Okay. That clears the alcohol debate.
Vice Runner?
Thank you, Mrs. Speaker, or Ms. Speaker. All alcohol-related issues aside, GovCamp is a fantastic experience, and I highly recommend everyone in this room go. It's really valuable to learn a lot there, as well as something that I think at least the past executive and this executive will be working on, is trying to build closer ties with the faculty associations, the walls and representatives. So it's good to know, it's a good opportunity to get to know your respective faculty association executives, make some bonds with them. There will be issues throughout the year that they might need to come to you for help on, or you might want to go for them for help on. So building those connections and bonds is, I think, a very valuable thing, and you should all highly attend. I had a blast last year. It's a very good time.
Glad to hear it. 12 faculty associations, 2 campus associations. Counselor.
Thank you for your presentation. So last year, there were a lot of sessions, and a lot of us felt like it was just too packed, and the sessions were just too long as well. Did you guys take that into consideration more planning this year?
Yeah. We did, yeah. There's way more free time. The sessions end a lot earlier, and we've tried to make some of the more boring ones a lot shorter.
Yeah. So whereas last year, all the sessions were an hour, this year some of them are only half an hour, and some of them are really free-form. Like, they're not... they're like you're actually doing things rather than just watching a PowerPoint, unlike this particular presentation. Counselor, did you... Counselor?
Yeah, two questions. One, can I have a couple of examples of kind of sessions that you have? And second, I guess that's the first one. Like, what kind of sessions do you have?
All of the sessions are listed here. Okay. We've got, just give you a few quick examples. We have one on fiduciary duty, we have advocacy training, we've got mock counsel, we have strategic planning, we have event planning for faculty associations, things like that.
Second question. How set in stone is the date? Because I believe myself and Councillor Hudson have a midterm the next day.
It is, it's booked.
It's been, yes, paid for.
Sorry. if you can't attend and there's any kind of sessions or extra professional development you guys want, we're happy to work with you separately.
Counselor?
Thanks for the presentation. I didn't see that prior to, but I'm just curious when the registration opens for this.
Yeah. I've got the registration forms here. Okay. Hand them in by May 16th if you can. And yeah, just fill it out and hand it in. It's pretty simple.
Thank you.
Governor?
Thank you. Just 2 points. First of all, I'm hoping I can provide a quick session as well. If you allow me to inform council on about the SQX goals. The government also has some certain goals, and give me 15 minutes to talk about the legal issues and the diligence and the whole board of governors, explain that. I'd appreciate it. I think council and faculty associations made 15 minutes. I hope if you guys aren't too far, then as well. Secondly, I'd just like to echo Vice President Hodgson as well. In my first retreat, I met some of my best friends at the retreat, Colton, Petros, and we told them on this retreat, it's a great bonding session for all the councillors, and you make a lot of lasting friendships, so I highly encourage you all to attend. Colton, we made our bond by walking 45 minutes to this hillbilly town to pick up alcohol. It's good to get alcohol back, and that. And ever since then, we became very close friends. So I encourage you guys all. It's a great trip and performance as well. I hope you guys all.
Vice President, and then Councillor.
Seeing Council, if we could welcome up there. Makes me think of just recently I met with programming and venues from the departments here at the Students Union, and I've already started talking with them about how council might get involved with the week of welcome. One thought that came up already was how club experiment could do that with the beer garden. So I'll be sending out an email to all council fairly soon, in the next 4 weeks, because I'll be pretty busy, just to gather your feedback on how you would. How we would like to be involved with Week of Welcome, welcoming all the students on campus, and what kind of incentives would really make the experience rewarding and valuable for you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Councillor.
I'm sorry, Councillor, could you repeat the question? I could not hear it.
Does he also encourage us to walk to a hillbilly town with some friends to make some lasting friendships?
As long as you don't consume alcohol, because you'll be liable for it, because you're not allowed to be intoxicated.
Thank you, counselors. Do we have any other questions?
Sorry, just to clarify, is there any online forms or only paper?
Only paper right now. I'm not able to like make a comment, but for something that's probably something I'll try to do next year is move it all online, but I just like ran out of time to do it.
So I would direct the person I'm representing to your office to pick up the form by May 16th?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Vice President, and then Counselor.
Oh, I just wanted to make a really quick comment, echoing Vice President Hodgson's statements, that even if you're thinking, oh, maybe this is kind of useless, like, why should I spend a weekend? I think you really should. When I was on council, for the first time, I learned a lot. And honestly, like, the presentations and the sessions, they're good and they're important. But the most important thing was just talking to my fellow counselors and everybody else and just seeing how we'll work together. I think that's really important to set up the year to a good start. So I really hope you come.
Counselor?
When's the next one after the one I made?
I'm sorry? The fall one, you mean?
Yeah.
The date hasn't been set in stone yet, nor has the schedule. They're going to, Discover Governance is going to work on that over the summer.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on when the fall election is called, largely. But, yeah.
Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much.
I have one more thing to add that I forgot to add during the presentation. For those of you who are on both council and a faculty association, make sure that when you're filling it out, there's a section that says organization. Sign up as a counselor instead of for your faculty association.
Okay.
And
that's it. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much for that presentation. Just to remind council, please keep your comments and questions germane to the presentation, and please make sure that you limit the side discussion a little bit and make sure you focus on the people who are presenting. During the year, as you've seen already, some people come to council who aren't necessarily counselors. Show them the respect they deserve, please. All right, moving on. The next presentation is the presentation that I'm going to give on Robert's Rules. It's been sponsored by Vice President Hodgson. Is there a seconder to sponsor this presentation? Governor Hansera. Something I forgot to ask Council prior to the other two presentations. Does anyone object to this presentation being seen? Perfect. So I'll try to keep this presentation short, as there will be another presentation at GovCamp. So, anyways, Robert's Rules of Order. Yay. So, background. Yes, Robert's Rules is actually coined because of a man whose last name was Robert. Fun fact. Basically, Robert's Rules provides a set of guidelines and standards and rules to effectively run meetings. It's quite a thick document. It's about 800 or 900 pages, I would say. It's a good snooze read, if you'd like. There is an abridged version, a short version, which I'm actually in the process of reading. It's actually quite entertaining, and it's the language is not as ugh as the full version. So where do standing orders fit into all this? Basically, standing orders provide council-specific rules that we are to follow, and so in certain cases, they do overrule some of Robert's Rules, for example. In Robert's Rules, speakers are given 10-minute speaking turns. Council, they're only given 6-minute speaking turns. So that's just one small way in which standing orders sort of overrules Robert's Rules. Also, Mr. Turner, feel free to jump in at your leisure. So, general information. All business for council must be brought in the form of a motion. So if you look at the main agenda, you'll see a number of motions. Most of the motions today are nominations to committees, but sometimes you'll see motions to vote on principles for a bylaw or a policy or something like that. All that needs to be brought in the form of a motion. And in other cases, motions can also be made from the floor. For example, calling to order, calling to question, things like that. And motions must be moved and seconded. This is actually, I think, one of the most important things about motions is that the person who moves the motion actually should be in favor of the motion being passed. The seconder is not necessarily someone who is in favor of the motion, but just wants to see it debated. So when it comes time to voting, the person who moves the motion shouldn't be voting against the motion. That really doesn't make any sense. Once the motion is put to the floor and stated by myself as the speaker, it cannot be withdrawn without unanimous consent. That means that 30 seconds before the motion is read, you can still withdraw the motion, as weird as that sounds, but it can be done. Late additions. late additions, as you saw earlier in the meeting, they're items which basically cannot be put off. If they are special ordered, they're items that cannot be put off to the next meeting because they would cause detrimental consequences to the organization, basically. Personally, as a speaker, I don't like late additions because I don't think it provides council with enough information prior to voting on a specific motion or hearing a specific presentation. But that being said, there are cases in which late additions need to be special ordered. So if you are planning to try to special order something from the late additions, that's your particular motion or presentation, try to get as much notice out to council as possible so that councillors could be well informed if you have a better case for special ordering motions. Sorry. Moving a motion from the floor, we kind of already talked about that. But just to clarify for people that would like to move motions, motions can be made between speaking turns. So, for example, if Councillor Champagne is just finishing up his speaking turn and Vice President Hodgson is just about to start his speaking turn but hasn't started it yet, someone can make a motion from the floor to call to question, for example. Any questions so far? Hopefully you're not asleep yet. All right, debate. During debate, during motions, members of council can only have two speaking turns, and those speaking turns are limited to 6 minutes each. That being said, when your speaking turn ends, the time doesn't transfer to the next speaking turn, and technically, according to Robert's rules, you cannot defer the rest of your time to another member of council, something that I would like to enforce so that debate doesn't go on and on forever. However, if, for example, the WISC people were here, and they were here during the motion to nominate people to the WISC SRP board, somebody like Vice President Hodgson could defer some of his time to allow them to speak. Any questions on that?
Just to clarify, you can give your time to another council, but you can give it to somebody like a guest speaker.
Yes. Okay. Guests of council do have the privilege of being able to speak, but I believe that's at the discretion of council and the speaker as well, and depending on how timing works of their speaking turn, basically. But generally, yes, councillors aren't allowed to defer their speaking time to another councillor. As speaker, basically it's my job to try to make sure that if this is your first speaking turn, that takes precedence over another councillor's second speaking turn. Something that I talked about during my sort of opening statement during the interview process was that when limiting time for speaking turns, I'd like to make sure that councillors are sort of equal in that if it's their first speaking turn, they get the full amount of speaking time if a few other councillors have had that as well. So I'll try to also make sure that that is upheld. And please try to alternate between positive comments for a motion and negative points of debate for a motion. Something else that I'd like to do, and this is up to council really, is that if everyone's just speaking in favor of a motion and there's no one who's speaking against the motion, we might as well just pass the motion right then and there because it doesn't seem like anyone's against the motion. So that's food for thought. I'll let that play out as it may. And debate should be directed through the speaker, should be very professional. You should be addressing councillors by their first name, like Navneet or Catherine. You should be addressing councillors as their formal titles, of councillor, vice president, president, governor. And as you said in your oath, attack the ideas, not the individual members, and make sure that all the comments during debate are germane to discussion. Voting is typically done by show of hands, placards as well, and members can actually change their vote until the results of the vote are announced. So this is particularly important when there is a call for division and when the speaker is actually taking a good record of how people are voting, because that could tip the scales in how if the motion carries or doesn't carry. It is a good idea to abstain on matters where you are placed in a conflict of interest. Excuse me, conflict of interest is actually defined, as far as I know, in Bylaw 100. So I'll refer you to that, and I won't give you a big spiel about conflict of interest right now. And straw polls are actually not in order, according to Robert's rules. So. Council format? Any questions before we keep going?
Can you define straw polls? Oh, sorry, I didn't even
mention. Yeah, no, for sure. Straw polls are basically informal votes of council, so it's just saying, like, by a show of hands, who is generally in favor of this motion, as opposed to actually formally voting on a motion.
So it's just a waste of time.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. It depends on what setting you're in. Yeah?
So could you also define a call for a division?
Call for division, sorry. I'll define that later as well, but call for division is basically when each councillor's vote is recorded for in a formal record, basically. So at the start of meeting of Students' Council, there was a call for division made on the schedule for council. So each councillor's vote was recorded as a yes, no, or abstention. So until such a time as the speaker announces this is how, like, the number of yeses, the number of noes, abstentions, the motion carries or fails, you can change your vote. And that is formally recorded. Good? Yeah.
Is there a number of, is there a cap of the number of speaking?
Yes, there is. Thank you. So each member of council is limited to 2 speaking turns per point of debate.
Not 3.
I would just add to that that's for sort of each individual motion you're dealing with. So, for example, if you're dealing with motion, you have 2 debate periods. If there's a motion to amend the original motion, you also get 2 debate periods for the motion to amend.
Yeah. Just 2, not 3. Council format. Pretty easy to follow in the main agenda. Speaker's business comes first with attendance and announcements. Then we see presentations. Presentations are technically restricted to 30 minutes, including questions and comments and whatnot, but they can be extended as well. And there are more details and whatnot in standing orders. Board committee reports as well as executive reports are limited to 2 minutes, except for special cases, like today's meeting, in which they have a little bit of extra time, I believe, for their inaugural addresses, as well as the farewell address by the president during the last meeting of Students' Council. Question period. Question period is 15 minutes long, can be extended by 5 members who would like to extend it, depending on how many questions there are. It can be extended again, so to an hour or further than that, by 2/3 majority vote of council. It's happened quite a bit when I was a counselor, so be prepared for some long days. Written questions do take priority over oral questions, and generally you get a much more detailed and better answer when the questions are written, because people who you ask the questions to actually have a chance to prepare their answer. So as much as possible, if you have a question to ask to another counselor or a member of a board or whatnot, write it down, send them an email even, to say, heads up, this might be coming on the late editions, but I have a written question that I'm going to be submitting. Please provide a good response, basically. And you get a much better, much more detailed answer when you ask in advance again. Board and committee business, basically any business or any motions relating to boards and committees of Students' Council. Nothing really else to say there. General orders are just general motions that are made.
Yeah, no, essentially the only difference between those two is whether or not they come as a recommendation from a committee or from committees.
Any questions? Sorry, I know I'm taking a little bit of extra time here. I'll try to go a little bit quicker. Basically, a motion to amend is to change some of the wording or change, not necessarily to change the spirit of the original motion, Basically, amendments are a lot of times are grammatical in nature, or to provide further clarification on what the motion is actually saying, or what Students Council wants to say by passing this particular motion. Generally, amendments, like I said, aren't to contradict the original spirit of the motion, or aren't meant to change the motion in such a way that the motion will fail. If that makes any sense. And amendments can only have one amendment made to them, as in there can be amendments to amendments, but there can't be amendments to amendments to amendments. If that makes sense. Okay. And if no councillors are opposed to a particular amendment, they're considered to be friendly. So, any questions? Cool. Motions to postpone indefinitely. In short, this motion is made when you want to just kill a particular motion that is on the floor. It's just to never have council really reconsider the motion, ever. So, if you really don't like a motion, you can move to postpone it indefinitely and see what council thinks. But it's just for motions that really aren't very good motions or aren't motions that council would like to pass ever. They can't be amended, so fun times. Motion to call to question. You saw it quite a bit already, but motions to call to question basically stop all debates, stop all questions, and if they're passed, bring about an immediate vote of Students' Council. Like I said, they're not debatable, they're not amendable, and they require two-thirds majority. Like I said earlier with motions from the floor, between speaking turns, anyone can move to call to question. Anyone can just say, call to question, Mr. Speaker, and then we'll call the question. If it passes, obviously. Suspend the rules. Generally, this comes in the form of suspending standing orders for a particular purpose. Basically, usually when we want to suspend standing orders, we'll place importance on a particular set of standing orders to suspend as opposed to just suspending them in general, because if you do that, then we're kind of screwed. They need a two-third majority to pass. Like Vice President Hodgson brought up earlier, they're not debatable and they're not amendable. Division of a motion. So this happens usually when somebody is trying to omnibus a motion or trying to put several things into the same motion. Council can split those up into different smaller fractions and vote on them individually as opposed to moving everything at the same time. On the other hand, council can also choose to take three or four motions, put them together to an omnibus, and pass all of them at the same time. Okay. Any questions? Perfect. Division. We already kind of went over this. Division is called generally by any member of council who would like to see a formal record or get a better sense of what the exact vote is. Yeah, that's all I have to add on division, basically. All right. Chair appeals. Awesome. So, in many cases during Students' Council, I'll make a ruling on a specific topic or a specific motion or whatever business that Council sees. If you'd like to move to appeal that decision, it is most certainly your right, and I actually encourage you to do so because, in many cases, I may be wrong. Yeah, I'm not like an all-seeing eye of speakerness. Okay? In many cases, the speaker can be incorrect about his interpretation of his or her or their interpretation of Robert's Rules of Order. All right? And council may have a different interpretation, or just that's something that is a simple oversight on the part of the speaker. So feel free, again, I encourage you to challenge the chair. It shows that you are really engaged in what's going on in council. This motion is debatable, so councillors can speak. And I believe the chair, the speaker, I have the ability to speak prior to, so explain why I made a specific decision and actually provide a rebuttal at the end when all discussion is closed. Motion to reconsider. Motion to reconsider is basically just reopens debate or discussion on a motion that has already passed. It can only be made by somebody who's on the winning side of a particular motion. And it can only be brought forward at the same meeting of Students' Council. Any questions? Yes? Councillor Hahn.
Can you tell us what's on the main side of the motion?
Sometimes it's tough to say, but I think usually, in my experience in motions to reconsider, the motions are quite contentious, and usually, in my experience again, there usually will be a call for division. So it's really easy to show how a particular member of Students' Council actually did vote. Other times it's a lot tougher to figure that out. Sometimes it's just taking your word, I guess. So, yeah, hopefully that answers your question. Any other questions? Cool. Points of order. Points of order, again, are used to basically correct any breaches of the rules that are made on behalf of a counselor or speaker. I'll rule upon those, yay. And can be really brought forward at any time during debate, during somebody's speaking turn, whenever. Same thing with points of personal privilege. They can be brought about at any point. Most of the points of privilege that I've seen, personal privilege that I've seen, are that the wording is too small when we're making amendments and amending something in a Word document or something like that, or that somebody on Skype can't necessarily hear what's going on during debate. Just generally they're just used to complain about something that is actually a pretty relevant complaint. So, points of parliamentary inquiry. Basically, just to any point at this point that you're unsure of, just call it a point of parliamentary inquiry, and I'll do my best to answer it. It's not uncommon for councillors, especially during their first term, to be a little bit not aware of the rules or not necessarily know how to do certain things. Please ask. It's much more important that you ask instead of just sitting back and not saying anything, because it could be something that a lot of other councillors are thinking as well. You might not be the only one. And a request for information can be directed at myself as the speaker, or can be directed at somebody who is currently talking. So usually a request for information, or what used to be called a point of information, is used to just clarify what somebody is trying to say or provide more details. It shouldn't be used as a medium to debate somebody during their speaking turn. Governor Hanser in his younger days as a counselor was sort of bending the rules on this particular point. I remember this coming up as when Governor Hanser was actually talking about when he wanted to run for speaker, and he said that it was one of his favorite rules because he could sort of mold it to his advantage. But I'm sure that Governor Hanser will not do this during this session of Students' Council. Any questions? Anything at all? Yes?
Not a question, Mr. Speaker, but perhaps if you will allow a quick comment.
Sure.
It sort of touches on Councilor Hammond's question before about and your response. I just wanted to make the point that sort of not only in terms of tracking who voted which way, but just in a general sense, there's a certain tradition in Robert's Rules and in parliamentary practice and parliamentary law. There's a concept of honor, if you will, of members. And a lot of what you see in parliamentary tradition it relies on the honor system, relies on you to self-police, if you will. And I would just encourage you to keep that honor in mind as you go about the debates, as you go about your meetings, both for the sake of council and for the sake of your other members that you're with, and just remember the oath that you took. So trying to follow the rules as best you can, and the speaker can guide you through that, but trying to remember to use those rules in the ways they were meant to be.
Thank you. Do you have a question that you want to ask, or just was that it?
No.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Awesome. Let's wrap that up. Perfect. Okay. All right. So, we will come back to...
Yes. Can you explain the difference between point of information and request of information?
Sorry, yes. That's a good question. And government answer, feel free to jump in as you would like. Point of information or a request for information is usually used to provide clarification on an item of debate. So providing more details or more information, specifically that's germane to a topic that is being discussed during debate. Parliamentary inquiry can be pretty much, parliamentary inquiry is, to my knowledge, is more of a catch-all. It's just kind of a point that's used to ask questions, usually directed to the speaker as to how to do certain things or provide more explanation in terms of logistics and whatnot with counseling.
Yeah, essentially, point of parliamentary inquiry is a question about procedure. Question of information is clarification on debate.
All right. Perfect. So we will move on to item 7-8. Hodgson Lau moved to appoint one member of Students' Council to the First Alberta Campus Radio Association FACRA Board of Directors. Vice President Hodgson, would you care to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So FACRA, the First Alberta Campus Radio Association, Board of Directors, is the board that controls the radio station CJSR. Some of you might have listened to it before. It's a... independent radio station that's run actually out of the basement of the Students' Union building, funded by a dedicated fee unit, so all students pay, can't remember the exact amount it is, but X dollars a semester.
Point of order?
Yep, Councilor Vinci.
What about the foreign company reports as well as the executive reports?
Oh. Thank you very much for that. My apologies, Vice President Hodgson. Sorry. To address that point, basically any nominations that occur during Students' Council are actually immediately after presentations and we'll have executive, board, and committee reports following those, if that makes sense.
Thank you.
So, please continue.
Thank you. What was I saying? So I was the FACRA board member for council last year. I actually had a really good time. CJSR also recently is... This year is their 30th anniversary. As well, they won at the Mayor's Celebration of the Arts. They won the John Poole Award for the Promotion of the Arts. So station's at, one of maybe its all-time highs right now. I would highly recommend someone in this room getting involved with them. It's very interesting. If you ever, I also recommend you listen to CJSR at some point. They have some really interesting programming on there. They have a whole Prague Hour that's like actually pretty cool. So... if you have any questions, feel free to ask me.
I saw Councillor Mohammed's placard out.
Just the one order.
Yep.
Can we take it right now for 9 minutes?
Yep.
One order.
Yes. Yes, Vice President.
We changed standing orders last year so that it's after two presentations as well it can occur. It doesn't have to be necessarily one item of business anymore.
Let me review standing orders here just because there's some discrepancy.
What are parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker?
Yes, Governor Ansara.
Mr. Speaker, we've already started the process. The motion's already been introduced. Can we put this session in the middle of a...
I'm not sure. That is a great question. So we're going to answer it. I feel like you already know the answer to that. All right, let me look up all this stuff. Go back to you.
I will likely be sitting on the FACRA board for the upcoming year in addition to this position, so you can come hang out with me at their board meetings.
All All right, so to address the first point, for recess, and if council will permit me to read from papers here, part 14, recess and reassembly. Students Council will recess for 15 minutes immediately after the first order of the day disposed of, at least 90 minutes after the call to order. So does that answer your question, Councilor Ronan? Perfect. Now, so... Can't find anything on recess, so what I will do is I will allow this particular motion to carry forward, and then we'll recess after this particular motion as per standing orders anyhow. So we have to do that anyhow, so I guess we'll just go that route. So I will allow for debate. Mr. Champagne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question, you know, for the floor. Hopefully Vice President Hodgson will pick it up. Is what exactly do we expect the councillor to be able to bring to this board or take back to council? So what exactly will be the usefulness of his role on the faculty?
Yes, Vice President Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, I think the easiest way to answer that is to contrast FACR with the Gateway. So the Gateway is almost entirely student-run. Their board, I think, is comprised of probably, except for one or maybe two members, all current students. FACR is actually quite the opposite. We are considered the student board members. A majority of the board are older community members who have been a part of the radio station for a number of years. The DJs there, and just community members of the vested interest in the board or in the radio station. So, in my view, it's the responsibility of the student council member to represent students' interests to CJSR to ensure that the student focus is adequate, as well to build and maintain relations. I think there's the opportunity to do some interesting cross things, programming events, such and such. During the elections this year, there was a presidential debate forum aired on CJSR, so I think that's just one example of the many opportunities that we can have to collaborate together. And again, really here, as the student member on this board, and not even the student member, the member of council on this board, all students pay into this DFU to fund them, so you are there to ensure that the money is being spent in a responsible way that students would want their money spent.
Yes, Councilor Fruit.
I guess a couple of questions. I guess for the most part, one would be that statistically, like, how many people did you have information on how people can adjust to CDSR? It's just a question on my part. Like, I mean, like, we are funding them and, like, to maintain responsibility. Like, do, like, does council have information on that?
So I thank Mr. Speaker. I will answer that, but that this is also my last speaking turn, so someone will have to defer to me to answer any further questions. No. I know they have statistics on their listenership. I don't know them off the top of my head, and that's something that it would be the councillor's rep's job to provide to council if that was requested. The breakdown in demographics, I don't think it's something they necessarily have, because it's how do you track, you know, well, this listener's a student, this listener's a community member. It's just people who tune in on a dial. So it's a hard thing to actually kind of track the demographics behind and really get accurate numbers for. I do believe they have some, but I can go and talk to them and try to get what they are, but not off the top of my head.
You're gonna have to get somebody else to.
I was gonna make a motion.
Oh,
okay.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Fruit for this submission.
Councillor Fruit, do you accept?
I do.
Perfect. Anyone else? Yes, Councillor Champagne.
I'd like to nominate myself.
And I'm assuming you accept because you nominate yourself. Perfect. Anyone else? All right. Seeing no one. What we'll do is we will have a 1 minute nomination speech by each candidate. I'll go in order that each member was nominated. Following this, we'll have a preferential ballot vote where you can choose to basically put Councillor Farouk and Councillor Champagne or Noda, none of the above, in the order in which you'd like. Is that a point of parliamentary inquiry?
Yes.
Yes, Councillor Brophy.
In the past, you've done a simple heads down and vote, so that's quicker for the speaker to count results.
Sure.
So we don't have to look at how they're being counted in ballots.
If councillors are amenable to that, that works for me. A lot easier for me to do. Anyways, we will start with Councillor Farouk.
All right. The reason I think I'd be really good for this position is, first of all, I am the chair of audit. So it does, I guess it does go well in hand with that position to be on one of the boards of where our much of our funding goes, and I think that's an adequate and well defined thing to have those roles I believe really do work well together, and I do have a bit of experience working with radio shows and podcast shows in the past. So I think both the roles and my experience work hand in hand and would be really complimentary to the position. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kirk. Councillor Champagne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So why I want to be on this board is, first of all, talk about my experience. Back when I lived in St. Paul, I was actually on a review committee to examine the feasibility of bringing community radio to the Francophone St. Paul community. But also at Campus Neige, I'm on the radio club, and I had a show last year where I talked about upcoming student events and upcoming things for council. That's how we got students engaged, how we got them involved. I hope that being on this board will be able to give me more more skills to better bring that into effect. So not only to bring a counselor's perspective to the board and students' interest, but also to bring back then to our campuses different skills and different things we can use to further develop our radio programs, and especially at campus, so that we can have better radio shows, so we can involve more, link both campuses better. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Champagne. All right. At the request of Councillor Grokey, and seeing no objection by Students' Council, we'll just have a simple heads down, thumbs up vote. So please, heads down. All those in favor of Councillor Farouk? All those in favor of Councillor Champagne? All those in favor of none of the above? All right, heads up. Congratulations to Councillor Champagne. All right, seeing as we have gone through one item of business, we will now recess for 15 minutes. All right. Come back and address item 7B. Hodgson Lau moved to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Gateway Student Journalism Society Board of Directors. Before I give Councillor, or Vice President Hodgson, the opportunity to introduce the motion, I will say that something that was pointed out to me during the recess was that if you have questions for Vice President Hodgson, traditionally Students' Council has sort of allowed questions to flow freely to somebody who's introducing a nomination of this type. So if you have any questions for him, if Vice President Hodgson allows, feel free to ask him, because it's better to ask him while he has the opportunity to speak as opposed to using his two speaking turns like he did during the last debate, I guess. So, Vice President Hodgson, do you care to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, Gateway Student Journalism Society Board of Directors is the board that oversees the Gateway, our student newspaper. I sat on this board as a student council member last year and had a great time. I will also be sitting on it again this year as the VP Operations and Finance sits on it, so you can, again, come and hang out with me on a board and have fun. I really enjoyed my experience on the board. It's awesome to get to know our student journalists and to sit and to, one, represent our interests to their board, but to also try to represent their interests to council. I believe that these DFU council appointee positions are kind of a two-way flow of information and representation, and it makes our organizations, the ties between our organizations stronger. So I had a really good time. It's always interesting to hear the kind of back end about what's going on in the Gateway with things like the purity test, with the joke issues. There was a lot of discussion around going into the magazine that came out this year, which was done pretty fabulously. So I really enjoyed that. Like, I mean, you go pick up the Gateway every Wednesday and read it, but you can kind of get the deeper story about what's going on in the paper.
Any questions for Vice President Hodgson? What's the time commitment?
Yeah. So maybe one thing to add, and also for the previous one, generally, both FACRA and the Gateway meet once a month. Sometimes it's a little bit more demanding if something's going on, but it's generally meeting once a month. Any questions?
Can I nominate Governor Hanstra for this position?
Yes, you may. Governor Hanstra, do you accept?
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else? Yes, Vice President Lau. Sorry, President Lau, sorry.
Can I nominate Councillor Farouk?
Councillor Farouk, do you accept?
I do.
Any other nominations? Seeing none, we'll go back to what we did just a few minutes ago. In the order in which you were nominated, so Governor Hanstra, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm interested in joining this board because, you know, news media, news print is at a perilous time. The Gateway is struggling, as we all know that, financially. Throughout the last few weeks, I've been asked by certain members of the Gateway to help them on an unofficial basis, on helping them restructure and looking at various ways to increase revenue and to increase print sales as well as digital sales and potentially looking at cutting costs internally as well as ways to be looking at potential new DFU as well. So, you know, I'm already somewhat involved, and as a result, I think that would be a strong two-way liaison between council and the Gateway Board of Directors. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Hanstra. Council approved.
Thank you, President, for the nomination. Again, as previously said, from my last thing with CDSR is that, like, I do have previous experience in journalism and media and marketing. Running a newspaper as well as being a journalist, writing in one that is online and facing the issues of having revenue to generate and keep up the cost of running a newspaper. Like, you have posting costs, you have costs with the journalists, the articles, and how to do the contracting, and do have formal experience doing this. And as well, I'm also chair of audit, so I think with the DFU issue, that it really fits well with my role and my experience, having formal experience dealing with the problems that they're facing, because I have solved these problems personally myself, and I think I bring valuable experience to the table. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Farouk. We now have a heads down vote. I'd also please ask the gateway to also put their heads down. All those in favor of Governor Hansra being your representative, please raise your placards. Thank you. All those in favor of Councillor Farooq, please raise your placards. Once again, sorry, can I have those in favor of Governor Hansra, sorry, please raise your placards again. Please raise them high. And all those in favor of Councillor Farooq. Thank you. All those in favor of NOTA? None of the above. Thank you. Packers down, heads up. Congratulations to Councillor Farooq. Moving right along to item 7C. Hodgson Lau moved to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Alberta Public Interest Research Group, APER. Board of Directors.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So this is one of the DPs I didn't sit on the board of, so I'll refer to someone who did, Eric Crahan.
Hi. So I was a counselor last year, and also for the past 2 years, I sat on the board of APER. So if you read what it says in the order of papers about our mandate, it doesn't really give you that much information. So if council is okay with it, I'm just going to read the mandate. AFERG's version of our mandate, which is found in our bylaws. So what it is AFERG is a student-run, student-funded, nonprofit organization dedicated to research, education, advocacy, and action in the public interest. AFERG exists to provide students with resources to be active citizens. And then what our basis of unity is that we believe the way to create positive social change is to provide individuals with the information and tools they need to become active citizens and participate effectively in their community. So what that, plays on reality is that, obviously there's lots of, social justice stuff happening on campus. Some of it is, very, student group focused. Some of it is more institutional, SustainSU, which is part of the Students' Union. The gap that APERG sort of fills on community, in the campus community, is a very, community-driven approach. So what we do is twice a year, we hold funding rounds, and we give out $30,000 a year to students and student groups to actually do projects that sort of will benefit, their own communities in some ways. So it's more of, a grassroots-focused organization. And so we work, our mandate, as I just read out, is anything of public interest. So that gives us, a very broad mandate to work on, a wide variety of issues of, environmentalism. We did a lot of stuff on colonialism and Indigenous rights last year. Last year we worked very heavily with the Gender-Based Violence Prevention Project, which was a 2-year project at the Students Union. And so a lot of work happened around that. We did a whole symposium events for Pride Week this year. So we basically do a lot of stuff all over campus. So it's really got a great opportunity for people to get involved and sort of do what they're interested in. So I guess the role of the SU rep is to come sit on our board and hang out with us. We have an entirely new board with only one person coming over from last year's board, so it's a really great opportunity to just learn together with everyone and maybe shift the organization in a positive way. I just can't really describe it. You kind of have to go and learn about it yourself. Let me know if you have any questions. And if you do end up getting nominated, I'll just run over and grab your email, and then we can, I'll be able to email you and invite you to our next board meeting, which happens. And so I guess the time commitment is we have 5 weekly meetings, so probably less during the summer, probably closer to every 3 or 4 weeks in the summer. But bi-weekly meetings during the year, and those usually are about 3 hours, 3 hours.
Any questions for Mr. Goodman? Seeing none, open to nominations.
I nominate
yes.
Councillor Peake.
Do you accept, Councillor Peake?
Yes. I do.
No, also.
Do you accept? Any further nominations? Yes.
I nominate myself.
Sure. I'm assuming you accept?
Yes.
Perfect. Anyone else? Seeing none, we'll have our fun times with speeches. So we'll close nominations there, and we will have our 1 minute speeches by our nominees, starting with Councillor Peake. You have 1 minute.
Okay, I would like to sit in this group or committee because I'm really interested in learning about new things, and also as a science student, I have seen many people doing new research and trying to get funding, and I think it would be really great for me to get to see how this thing works, and as a council member, I can represent our science students better. And represent voice better, and also by knowing those process better by standing here, I think I can modify more strength about this program. So, yeah.
Perfect. Thank you, Councillor Peake. Councillor Zanadine.
I think I would be suitable for this since. I've been involved in some groups that have tried to apply for their paper scholarships, such as sponsoring Origins Worldwide, which I was concerned about, and I applied to the paper that we are part of the scholarship. I also applied to the MSA, which I'm the current outgoing president of the Muslim Students Association. And so I want to, I'm more interested in their scholarship and sponsorship. Branch, and I'd like to use it to outreach to minority groups such as, for example, orphans and underrepresented societies.
Thank you very much. We'll now have a heads down vote. All those in favor of Councillor Peake, please raise your placards. Please raise them high. Thank you. All those in favor of Councillor Zanadine, please raise your placards. Thank you. And anyone voting for none of the above, please raise your placard. Thank you. Plackets down, heads up. Congratulations to Councillor Zinedine. All right, so we'll move on to item 7D. Hodgson Lau moved to appoint two members. Sorry. With this particular motion, because it pertains to a presentation, Councillor Muhammad, please. Yes. So, Councillor Muhammad has moved to suspend standing orders to allow for a motion and a presentation to basically happen during the same meeting. Is there a second for this particular motion? Perfect. Does anyone need for me to clarify this at all? To explain what's going on? All right. So, sorry. So, basically, in standing orders, currently it is written that there's a presentation on a specific topic, that there cannot be a motion on the same topic during the same meeting of Students' Council. So what Councilor Muhammad's motion would do, if passed, would allow for this motion to happen at this meeting, basically. Make sense? All right, so I will allow Councilor Muhammad, just give me 1 second, to introduce. Go ahead.
Let's get it straight up so we can have councilors on the board right away.
Sorry.
We didn't vote on the motion to suspend standing orders.
Yes, so, sorry. To clarify, first off, are you introducing the... Are you introducing the motion to suspend standing orders?
Yeah.
Okay. Make sure that your discussion is germane. Yes?
How are you going to introduce these motions? Like, they're not debatable.
That is a good point. I do believe Vice President Hodgson is correct. So, yes. And, actually, I think it was pointed out to me that there was no second for this particular motion, but I did see Councillor Kruelke's placard up, so I'm assuming she's seconding this motion?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Councillor Kruelke. So, this particular motion, thank you, Vice President Hodgson, is not debatable and not amendable. So, all those in favor of suspending standing orders to allow for this particular motion during this meeting of Students' Council, please raise your placards. Please raise them high. Awesome. Thank you, and thank you, Vice President Hodgson. So, I will allow Vice President Hodgson to introduce this particular motion.
Oh, yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, we had a presentation by was today. I have never sat on the board, so I will defer my speaking turn to Councilor Muhammad.
Yeah. So, WISC is a great organization. They meet about every 2 weeks. The meetings are about an hour and a half, a couple hours long. Your role as a councilor is just keep strong communication between council and WISC. I remember this year something big happened, and they're close to actually not sponsoring this meeting this year for the first time because CETA, which is federal ministry, was cut in half, so they had to fundraise twice the amount that they would normally fundraise. So, as a counselor, I just came back to council, passed a motion that took, you know, 10 minutes to debate, and they were suddenly able to sponsor a refugee. So, your role is very important on WISC. Traditionally, there hasn't been strong communication between WISC and the SU. So if you sit on, it would be great to have you on. It's a very big year for them with this referendum. They're going to need a lot of help in terms of communicating with the SU, with bylaws, figuring out, you know, what have you. Also, the last thing is that you're actually going to help select the refugee that comes here. Like, you sit down in a meeting, you have a bunch of profiles in front of you, and you pick which life you're going to change. And it's a really weird kind of meeting and a weird experience, but it's really rewarding. You know, you could be picking someone who fled the civil war in Rwanda, but could be, you know, prosecuting people who did the genocide, as was that one alumni from the U of A. So, if there's any questions, I can answer them.
Yes.
What's the time commitment like?
It's every 2 weeks. There's a meeting, and it's about an hour and a half, and an hour and a half, 2 hours long. So it's pretty short. Like, there's a core exec that needs regular.
Any other questions for Councillor?
It also picks out like in the winter term because they plan their gala and everything. But, like, summer, fall, it's not that big of a commitment.
These are the summer.
Yeah. Are those questions?
I'd like to nominate Councillor.
Sorry, Mr. Malik, we'll continue with questions or comments,
okay,
and we'll open the floor to nominations.
Like, I would be involved with WISC anyways, so it would be great if, like, two new people could do it.
Any more questions or comments? Seeing none, Mr. Malik, would you like to nominate somebody?
I would like to nominate Councillor Gord.
Councillor Gord, do you accept?
I expect when it's learned.
Councillor Grothy.
Can I nominate Councillor Bannister, even though she's not here, but expressed her desire to be nominated?
Sure. Councillor Binching?
I want to make the same nomination, thank you.
Vice President Kinda, I thought you...
Yeah, I'd like to nominate Councillor B.
President Lau?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Popatunde.
You accept?
Right.
Councillor Chen?
I'd like to nominate myself.
Sure. Any other nominations?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Jacobson, who's not present, but I'm sure would love to chat.
Has Councillor Jacobson expressed interest in this particular position?
Pardon?
Has Councillor Jacobson expressed interest?
I sense he does. I'm a very strong.
I'm going to take that as a no. Thank you very much for your enthusiastic nomination, though, Mr. Any other nominations? Seeing none, because there are three candidates in two positions, we'll have to wait.
Two positions, yes.
Two positions. Once again, have to have a fun time to speak of. Would anyone like to speak on behalf of Councillor Bannister? Would Councillor be open to allowing somebody else to speak on behalf of Councillor Bannister?
I have to.
Okay.
I think that Councillor Bannister would be very good for this position. She has expressed interest in the organization before. I think with this year coming, her knowledge as a second-year counselor with bylaws and policies and her experience helping with SU elections would help with the referendum year. And I think that she brings a knowledge and background that would be an asset to us.
Perfect. Thank you, Councillor Grothy. On behalf of Councillor Bannister. Councillor Babatunde.
Yes, I am eager and passionate about any separate movement or organization that helps develop the country and promotes their education. And I guess coming from a developing country myself, I can relate and I can, I have a lot more compassion and understanding for what those individuals are going through. And so I'd love to be part of a movement that makes their lives better. Since I have a good chance,
I might
do better. So, yeah.
Thank you very much. And Councillor Chen.
I think it's a really great opportunity for us, University of Alberta, to put up a very international, very internationally friendly image through me. Because I, as international students, and also as the upcoming president for International Student Association, I think it's very good for university to help me there to represent some diverse cultural backgrounds and different opinions from the other part of the world. And I think, and also through my knowledge and experience, I think it's pretty good to have the capabilities to communicate with people and have more different ideas.
Thank you, Councillor Chen. Because there are multiple positions, I will actually go to a paper ballot system for this particular vote. So please rank Councillor Bannister, Councillor Babatunde, Councillor Chen, and Noda from 1 to 4, 1 being your first preference. Yes. Yes.
Can you write the names on the board?
Yes, absolutely I can.
Point of order, that's point of privilege.
Oh.
That's... Thank you, Councillor Chen. Yes, I do have paper. I will. Don't worry. I'm just writing the names first. I just want to make sure I spell them correctly. Okay, perfect. That's not what I wanted to do. Is that large enough? You want it to be bigger? Okay. You're welcome, Council. Man, it feels so much thinner than it used to be.
I love this
There you go.
Oh, God.
Okay. Yeah.
Napkins. No goodies. People were handing out paper.
Gets me the
flitter. All the paper you waste in the
beer. I think they're probably going to need some later anyway.
Yeah, no problem.
I do really know my lunch. Yeah. If there's anything I'm open to criticism. Also, I was pretty disappointed that Game of Thrones episode yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
We just put it in the closet.
It was stuck in the computer.
I don't remember what you're talking about. But what?
The Harry and Harry little thing that I with.
You don't realize that? I'll tell you later. Okay. Honestly, I watch it pretty late, so I might have a moment.
Are we going over the information items today as well?
Yes.
Oh.
Like 8:30, I probably will go to 10. So. Like run over to Hudson to see if they get the coffee. Yeah. Bring over beer.
Sure, yeah, what's up?
Remember how, during our nominating meeting, we told you about the drawings?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll be choosing the drawings, so I guess I'm just going to hand those things out there.
Nominating. Okay.
I don't know if you can do that, because I know they're already
Remind me when that comes back.
Okay, so do you want me to just raise my hand and say I withdraw from the committee, I resign from the committee?
Yeah.
No, that's fine. Okay, you got it. Good.
Okay, so we're good now? Two people are ready to resign?
Yep, yep.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, should be good.
I do, yes. Okay, just email me with your license plate number, your and
I guess not when they grow up. older brother who's like just like way older and I wish it was just like the two people who got the most first place votes.
That's what I thought it was. Well, I still don't know how council members
were
like.
Well, now that I'm invested in it,
I can't go back.
Well, I could. No one would ever know. All right. Who submitted their vote as check marks? All right, so I will not count this particular vote. It just says check marks. There's no preference. There are two check marks with a third person's name also.
It's not me, but I would assume that they meant that those are the two counselors they wanted.
But they have to put them in a preferential order.
Can you use it as a tiebreaker?
Fine.
Just the order. Just, no.
Fine.
Yeah.
I don't have to eliminate anything. I'm not screw this up. Yeah, okay. I really like the we should have sorted these piles. Yeah, this is terrible. We'll save the thing.
It's okay.
Hopefully the next one is better. Congratulations to Councillors Babatunde and Councillor Chen.
All right. Moving along to item 7E. Hodgson Lau moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Student Legal Services Board of Directors. Vice President Hodgson, would you care to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I have not sat on the Student Legal Services Board, but through my experience as Chair of Audit last year, we reviewed their financials every year. Student Legal Services provides legal services to members of the community who possibly can't afford a lawyer or... I'll defer to Councillor or Governor Hanser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Student Legal Services play a very fundamental role on campus. They do a number of things, part of which Councillor Hodgson stated. It's law students, generally first year, but a number of second years, that take on criminal proceedings, as well as family disputes, and as well as corporate disputes, legal test disputes, and add disputes as related to student code of conduct behavior issues. These are general people that can't afford, they have to be below a certain income. They're monitored by lawyers throughout the community as well as professors. It's a significant commitment for these law students. It's about 8 hours a week that the students do it, it's not the board of directors. They also make presentations in the community. There's an aboriginal section. There's a section that goes to the presentations in the high school. As well. And next year is going to be very important from a student union perspective for student union services, as there's going to be issues around the issue of due process in the student code of conduct comes up. Currently, in the student code of conduct and behavior, there is no due process. If someone is accused of something, they make their defense, and the presentation is made, they make their defense. And then they're shown. So it's actually a quite ridiculous code of conduct. And I know the SLS is going to be working heavily with the Law Student Association, a law professor, and I think Justin Williams, at least from the Student Union, to start to discuss negotiations with the administration on it. So that's basically a spark for what SLS does.
Are there any questions for Governor Hansera? Yes.
Just a formal question, or informal. Since you're in law school, like, have you worked with them in previous years, like formally as one of the law students?
Any other questions? Yes.
What is it?
I'm not aware what the board of directors type of commitment. I don't know if the vice president speaks that.
I think it's about the same, like, kind of speculation, but about once a month-ish.
And they do have a nice house, an Emily Murphy house.
I would disagree.
Yeah. I still don't know that word.
Any other questions for Governor Hansera? Seeing none, I will open nominations.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Collins.
Mr. Khan. And has he expressed interest?
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. Yes, Councilor Binchick.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Bannister.
Has she expressed interest?
Yes, of course. Thank you.
Perfect.
I feel like we got the same email.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Any other nominations? Seeing none?
Excuse me?
Yes.
How many people have nominated?
Two people have already been nominated for one position, Councillor Khan and Councillor Bannister. Thank you, Governor Hansera, for expressing your opinion.
No, he was pointing
to me. Oh, okay. Sounded like. Anyways, moving on. Any more nominations? Seeing none. Would anyone like to speak on behalf of Councillor Khan?
I'll speak.
Perfect. Whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've had the privilege of knowing Councillor Khan for a year. First year law student, very academically bright.
But he's also a very heavily involved in the law school in SLS. He knows student legal services inside out. He's passionate about the direction of the student legal services. And you know, he would be a great liaison between the Students Union and board of directors of the SLS. Oftentimes, law students are patriot, seem like elitists. And regardless, and similar to the issues that I will face on the Board of Governors, it's quite intimidating to be on that. As a result, students you don't often get that effective advocate. Because Councillor Khan understands the issues, but as also a peer, I think he'd be a very effective representative. And if you've known Councillor Khan before the meeting, he has a very unique approach where he brings humbleness and capacity, which will make him brilliant at any board of director or governor.
Thank you, Governor Hansara. This works a lot better than me just yelling. All right, would anyone like to speak on behalf of Councillor Bannister? Yes, Councillor Binchik.
I believe most of the things were said already. Councillor Bannister cannot make it because she's in Italy, so it's quite a trip, and she can't come back. Again, she's a returning councillor. She knows what council is all about, and I believe she would make a great representative. Again, I wish she would be here to speak for herself. Thank you.
All right. Because there's only one position for the SLS board, we will have a heads-down placard/hands-up vote. All those in favor of Councillor Khan, please raise your placards high. All those in favor of Councillor Bannister, please raise your placards. All those in favor of none of the above, please raise your placards. Thank you. Heads up. Congratulations to Councillor Khan. Moving along to item 7F. Hodson Lau moved to appoint two members of Students' Council to the Health Center Advisory Group Board of Directors. Vice President Hodgson, would you care to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will defer my speaking term to President Lau.
I'd like to make a friendly amendment to the motion to cross out the words Board of Directors, sure. As it is simply the advisory group itself.
Is there a seconder to this particular amendment? Does anyone have any opposition to this? Go ahead.
So every semester, students pay $26 to $78 to the health services on campus. Sitting on the Health Center Advisory Group allows you to kind of oversee how the finances are spent, and that includes the clinic, pharmacy, as well as the counseling and clinical services, previously known as the Mental Health Center. As for meetings throughout the year, the group meets once each summer, and then at least three times throughout the fall and winter, depending on the schedule, or I guess the amount of material needed. This year, there were a few more meetings because Dr. Robin Everall, the acting dean of students, wanted to present her mental health strategy. So that's a large topic of discussion right now, and I know it's an issue that lots of students are interested in. For those of you with a background in health sciences, you might also find this interesting.
One information. How long are the meetings?
Meetings are generally an hour and a half.
Any other questions for President Lau? If anyone didn't hear that answer, the question was what's the duration of the meetings? Generally, the meetings are an hour and a half long. Any other questions? Seeing none, I will open the floor to nominations. Yes, Councillor Shane.
I would like to nominate Councillor Kwan.
Councillor Kwan, do you accept? Councillor Kwan?
I would like to nominate Councillor.
Councillor Peake, do you accept? Councillor Farouk?
I would like to nominate myself.
Councillor Champagne?
I'd like to nominate Councillor Hudson.
Councillor Hudson, do you accept?
Yeah.
President Lau.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Champagne.
Councillor Champagne, do you accept?
Yes.
Councillor Grilke.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Babister.
Does she accept?
Yeah.
Any other nominations? Seeing none, we'll go to our fun speeches. So just remember, there are two members of this board, or this particular group. We'll speak in the order in which people were nominated. So, Councillor Kwan.
So, for student health, it's always a great position for me, and it can be seen in the past 2 years of involvement with student health groups on campus. So, the PATHAM have also been working closely with University Health Services to work on new collaborative projects and new initiatives. So I'm quite clear idea of what they do. And in addition, I also like to learn more about the national aspect of their health services. I'm now connected to some of our groups and faculty associated with this. It'll be easier for me to reach out to more students and get the best from them usually. And throughout the years, student groups are all collaborating with health services, so their provider are also valuable. So lastly, I can also help distribute information on the operation procedures and initiatives and with the data as well.
Perfect. Thank you, Councillor Kwan. Councillor Peek, go ahead.
I really, really like to join this group because experiencing 2 years in campus, I acknowledge a few problems regarding mental health or physical health problems. And also, I'm really passionate about student health because I really believe that student health problems should be treated important as academics. And also, as being vice president in International Association, by sitting here, I can represent diversity of students and knowing how this health center works, I can connect international students with health services because most of the international students do not know how those things work. So, yeah.
Thank you, Councillor Peek. Councillor Pruitt.
All right. The reason I kind of want to be part of this group is that I do have some experience working with health in the health services. I am a biology major, so I do have good experience within that field. But also, I do work quite a bit at the hospital. I was doing that since I was 13, 14, and working with doctors, nurses, and having them know the logistics of how health services are handled. I've had personal experience doing that and having an understanding with communicating with patients and the mental and emotional traumatic events that they go through, and having empathy to understand that is something that's really key to understanding how these services are handled and distributed, because in the past that's been primarily the issue with mental health, especially, is that they don't typically take the patient's point of view in hand.
Thank you very much, Councillor Farouk. Councillor Hudson, go ahead.
Okay, so personally, I volunteer at the Misericordia Hospital in the ER. My brother's a surgeon, so med in general has been a part of my life for many years. I'm also an aspiring med student at the U of A, so I'm very passionate about the medical field. I have been a volunteer with the U of A Compliments team, and we were part of the Positivity. So I really want to ensure that students are getting the support they need as far as mental health awareness goes. I think it would be important to learn what all our fees are going towards so that we can try and improve the services available for the students, and I'd like to be a part of that because I know several students, including many of my friends, who use these services daily, so I think it would be important to be a part of that.
Thank you very much, Councillor Hudson. Councillor Champagne.
Thank you. Yeah, so being an ex-patient from one of the services that we offer here at the U of A, I'd really like to know what it is to be a patient, and I also know that students sometimes they postpone seeking health services because they feel like they don't have time or they don't know how it's going to fit in their schedule, because waiting times can vary a lot. That's the particular issue I want to work on. I want to work on how can we get students to get the care they need when they need it, so that the problem doesn't evolve into something more serious, more costly, and in the end won't benefit the students. I want to bring students' perspective as well for students who go to the U of A but study on other campuses. So whether that be South Campus or Campus Saint-Jean, how can we better arrange schedules so that they either have more access to the services or that they can access them more quickly? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Champagne, and my apologies for that slight interruption. Would anyone like to speak on behalf of Councillor Bannister?
May we trust that Council already heard both our explanations? We would be just repeating the same thing.
All right. Fair enough. So because there are six nominations for this particular position and there are two positions available, we will once again go to a preferential ballot. If you do not have paper, please let me know. I have ample paper.
I think in the past, a routine option that has to be taken sometimes is that has worked on an audit basis where we raise our hands to two people if there's two people in a multiple stage, but the speaker would be available.
Does that work for Students Council? Is anyone opposed to this particular suggestion from the governor? Awesome. Saves me quite a bit of time, so thank you very much for your suggestion, Governor Hanser.
Can we just run through the names one more time because there are a lot of them before we start this down?
I will supply them here. Alright, so those are the six members of Students' Council that have been nominated, as well as NOTA. So, we will operate this on an honor system, so please only put your hands up twice. Alright, heads down. All those in favor of Councillor Kwan, please raise your placards. All those in favor of Councillor Peake, please raise your placards. Please raise them high. All those in favor of Councillor Farouk, please raise your placards. Thank you. All those in favor of Councillor Hudson, please raise your placards. Thank you. All those in favor of Councillor Champagne, please raise your placards. Thank you. All those in favor of Councillor Bannister, please raise your placards. And all those in favor of none of the above, please raise your placards. Perfect. Thank you. All right, so it just so happens that we have a tie between two counselors. I will assume that council, because there is one person who has the most votes, the next two people are tied. The council just wants to vote between those two people as to who they would prefer. So, first of all, congratulations to Councillor Kwan. The two councillors that are tied are Councillor Hudson and Councillor Champagne. So, yes.
I'd like to withdraw.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, now I'll bring my issue. I can still bring my issue to Councillor Hudson's attention and also the ideas I have, and I think that her background and her high interest in the medical field will serve her better in her position. So.
So, congratulations, Counselor Hudson, also. Moving on to item 7G. Hodgson Lau moved to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Athletics and Recreation Fee Advisory Committee, ARFAC. Counselor Hodgson, would you care to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to defer my speaking term to President Lau.
President Lau, please go ahead.
According to its terms of reference, the aim of the Athletics and Recreation Fee Advisory Committee is to provide an opportunity for students to gain an understanding of the distribution of the athletics and rec fee to provide input on the faculty of physical education and recreation regarding the provision of athletics and recreation on campus and the management of the fee. Last year, over the past year, there were only about 3 meetings of an hour each in the fall semester. The committee meetings were kind of broken down after that as the faculty of phys ed and rec decided to chat more closely and frequently directly with the SU and the GSA. This year, as there is a fee increase being proposed, I'm guessing that the meeting frequency of the committee will increase. It won't start until September, but I'm guessing that meetings will probably go towards probably once a month, with a meeting length of roughly an hour as well.
Are there any questions for President Lau? Councilor Grokey.
Do you think they would be amenable to Skype interviews or meetings?
From my previous experience in meetings throughout the past year, meetings are usually open to those available through Skype, but not preferred.
Okay. Councilor Muhammad.
Are meetings public? Like anyone just go to meetings?
Any other questions for President Lau? Yes.
But is the information public? Like, can the person who goes on it inform council of what is happening?
Updates will be included in reports.
Okay. Any other questions? I'll now open the floor to nominations. Governor Hansera.
Nominate Councilor Hooper.
Councilor Hooper, do you accept?
I do.
Thank you, Councilor. Councilor Muhammad.
Nominate myself.
Any other nominations? Seeing none, I will close nominations. And we will allow for... So, going in the order in which we're nominated, Councillor Hooper, go ahead.
Hi guys, I'm in the faculty of Southern Rec. I'm really familiar with the workings in the faculty. I'm very close with faculty members, and I'm also on my faculty association, so I have lots of connections within the faculty. Last year, as a faculty council, we really tried to promote the fee increase. We had so much support in that, we were really disappointed that it didn't go through. So in this position, I would like to encourage that and learn about councils like or committees like this, and I'd be really excited to do it.
Perfect. Thank you. Councilor Muhammad.
Yeah, when I was on the election trail, I heard a lot about this fee, and frankly, I was a bit disappointed that it went through, despite the failure of the plebiscite. So if I get on this committee, I want to see where the money's going, let people know how the fee was increased. There's a lot of questions to be raised. For example, at CSJ, they have a little room where they do their fitness stuff, and I want to know if they're going to be getting the fair share. I basically try to keep them accountable with this fee that students voted yes. So that's what I would do if I sit on this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councilor Muhammad. We'll now proceed to a heads-down placards up vote. All those in favor of Councillor Hooper, please raise your placard. Mm-hmm.
those in favor of Councillor Muhammad, please raise your placard. And all those in favor of none of the above, please raise your placard. Thank you very much. Congratulations to Councillor Hooper. All right. We will move on to item 7K. So, like I said earlier, I'll explain the situation. It's been resolved, but just to give council sort of a heads up as to what basically happened during the startup meeting of Students' Council, although it says, basically, at the startup meeting of Students' Council, seven councillors were selected to be on this particular committee. According to Bylaw 100, composition of this committee is only five councillors, with the Vice President Academic and the Vice President External serving as ex officio members. To this point, two councillors have actually resigned from the committee, so if it's amenable to Students' Council, would Students' Council be amenable basically to carrying forward the five members who were initially nominated at the startup committee, or at the startup meeting, sorry. Is that something that's acceptable to Students' Council? Yes, Councillor Gookie.
Is it possible to know who those five are?
Sure, yeah. Okay, so the seven original members of the nominating committee were as follows: Councillor Bannister, Councillor Huang, Councillor Sleeman, Councillor Gore, Councillor Muhammad, Councillor Kutsi, and Councillor Farouk. Councillor Sleeman and Councillor Gore both expressed that this committee would be a little bit too much of a time commitment for other activities that they're already undertaking, so they both decided to resign. So that leaves Councillor Bannister, Councillor Huang, Councillor Muhammad, Councillor Kutsi, and Councillor Farouk.
I'm not sure the point of interest or anything at all, but can I resign as well, or I don't have time anymore.
Sure.
Yeah, I can speak to you after that. So.
Yeah. Any other questions, any objections? Yes. So if at this point, if Councillor Farouk wants to resign from the committee, he can do so, and we can open up nominations to Students' Council to take in one more member if council is amenable to allowing the four councillors who still want to remain on the committee to be able to do so, and allow for council to nominate one individual from Students' Council, potentially two.
What a privilege.
Yes.
I believe I sent you an email of resignation as well.
All right.
No one's allowed.
So, yes.
Does the committee nominate people to Senate as well as the awards committee?
I believe, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, because nominating committee is something that's very new to me. It's not something that I had experienced at all. I believe they do nominate individuals to this. I think they make recommendations on Senate nominations. It's very unclear as to what the overlap is between nominating committee and CAC, because CAC has a little bit of, I think that's what you're alluding to.
Exactly. We have that in our standing orders. However, we are considering changing our standing orders if NOMCOM is responsible for Senate as well as the awards committee.
I believe they do play some role in the nomination of Senate members. I'm not sure if...
Perhaps I can follow up with the chair once she is elected.
Yes.
Just point of information. What's the meeting schedule like?
Oh, man. What was that meeting schedule like?
I think it was Wednesday at 7.
Let me just double check that. It may have something...
Yeah, it was Wednesday at 7.
Wednesdays at 7?
Yeah.
Was that on Council Tuesdays or off Council Tuesdays?
Off Council.
So off Council Tuesdays at 7 o'clock. I'm not sure what the time commitment is.
Actually, sorry, it's on Council.
On Council Tuesdays.
Yeah.
On Council Tuesdays?
Yeah.
On Council Wednesdays.
Wednesdays.
On Council Wednesdays at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yes, Councillor Muhammad.
For information, just kind of mention it. Can you kind of explain like what nominating
committee
does?
Okay. Sure. All right. If council will allow me to read from papers, if there's no objection, I will do so.
You have to do it all for members.
All right, just a mandate and purpose. The nominating committee shall act as a standing committee of Students' Council. The committee shall solicit and review applications from Students' Union members for student-at-large representative positions on GFC and its subcommittees, university advisory committees, university executive hiring committees, and the Senate. The committee shall recommend to Council the appointment of undergraduate students-at-large to serve on GFC subcommittees, university advisory committees, university executive hiring committees, and the Senate. The committee shall recommend to Council the appointment of undergraduate students to serve on GFC when seats remain vacant after an election. The committee has the authority to determine the criteria and application process for student positions appointed by Students' Council, and the committee shall utilize principle and practices of equitable representation in all its business, including but not limited to the selection of candidates. Would anyone like me to read any of those points again? All right. So, just to clarify here, so first off, is council amenable to allowing the now three councillors who were initially selected to the committee to continue on in their role in the committee? Is there any objection to that? Perfect. So, I guess I will now open nominations for the nominating committee. Councillor Muhammad.
Nominate Councillor Peake.
Councillor Peake, do you accept? Just to clarify, there are two open positions for councillors. Yes, Governor Hansera.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Zenebes.
Do you accept? Any other nominations? Seeing none, I will close nominations. Congratulations to Councillors Peake and Nadine. Awesome. All right, moving on to board and committee business. Do any of the executives... Well, first of all, we'll move to executive reports, I believe. Executive committee reports. Do any members of the executive wish to make a report? President Lau.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a heads up that over the past 6 days of office, none of the execs were actually in office. Since we just returned this afternoon from our executive retreat, which was really fruitful, and we got a head start on our goal setting, which is something we'll bring to council within the next month, let's say. And at Del Camp, actually. So hope to see you there. Two quick reminders to all of you. First off, if you have time in the near future, please stop by Subphoto as soon as possible to get your portraits taken. These portraits will be used to create a banner of all our lovely faces to be presented to the student body. Secondly, apologies, as I'll need to push back our one-on-ones to the end of May, as I'll be flying over to Ottawa and then to Canmore back-to-back to participate in transitions for our provincial and national lobby. Thank you.
Do any other members of the executive committee? Vice President Ortzik.
Hi, Council. I'm really excited to be working with you in the upcoming year. I also attended a retreat. I had a great time doing team building and learning all the things that I need to know in order to set me up to do a good job this year. Prior to my official start date on May 1st, I began work on a couple of committees that I'll be sitting on throughout the year. The first is the Peter Loggy Leadership College Advisory Committee, which is a steering committee, not the steering committee, but one of the steering committees for the Leadership College. Another one of the committees is the Presidential Search Committee, which is the committee that will determine who the new president of the university will be following Indira Summers Sagra. Anyways, I look forward to working with you all in the upcoming year, and thank you very much.
Vice President Kinda.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Hi, Council. I'm really excited to be working with you and for you this year. Similarly to what the President said, I'll be out of town for most of May since I'll be attending our CASA retreat or CASA conference in Ottawa. And CASA is our federal lobby group, which you'll learn more about soon. And right after that, we're going to Canmore to do our transition for COTS. And there we'll be selecting our new vice chair and chair that will lead the provincial lobby group, and we'll also be transitioning as a group. And after that, we'll be going to GovCamp, so that's where we reveal more details about my goals and our portfolio. And I'm sure there's something else coming up after that, but pretty much there's no weekends free for me. However, if you ever have questions about policy or external lobbying or anything, just feel free to email me and we'll get started on working on some stuff. So, thanks.
Thank you very much. Just to be clear, I'm not setting a timer because I'm allowing the executives a little bit more time because it's their inaugural address. If council wishes for me to limit the speaking time to 2 minutes, I can do so. Vice President Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and hello, everybody. Again, I was at retreat, had my brain filled with knowledge, needs a little bit of time to rest now, but one of the things I want to mention, if any councillors have an interest in the business or operations side of the SU, don't hesitate to come talk to me. I'm looking at continuing one of the projects of my predecessor, the business advisory group, in some form or another. So incorporating some eager minds in council, I think, would be a good way to at least start with continuing that project. And I'm looking forward to working with you all throughout the year. And again, come ask me questions anytime you have questions about anything operational or financial.
Vice President Diaz, you should make it. Yes.
Hi. My brain is also seeping with knowledge. I just had a couple things I wrote down. I started transitioning with William starting right after my finals in April 9th. And since then, I've been lucky enough to meet with the acting Dean of Students, North Center Advisory Group, our Programming and Venues Department, and so on. And there's quite a few things that are coming up that could potentially involve input and involvement from counselors to rewarding for both you and for the promotion of the students and engagement of students. So, I'll be reaching out about that, and on set, particularly, I'd love to talk about that too. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to board and committee business. Councillor Binchik.
Thank you. Could you please put the timer up? So, as all of you know, you're members of PAC, so I hope to be seeing you a little bit more on Council Tuesdays at 5 p.m. We'll be meeting at staff 6 a week. And today we had a really productive meeting. We talked about two main programs that PAC usually has from year to year, but they're usually a little bit forgotten, so Council doesn't use them. One of them is Council Outreach Fund. So, actually, all each Councilor has some money allocated to you, and you can use them pretty much in whatever way you'd like. How much is it? We're trying to figure it out with the operations and finance, so I'll be following up with you on that shortly. And the deadline to submit your proposal is the last PAC meeting of the fall term, so hopefully you'll start thinking about any initiatives you'd like to undertake, and perhaps you'd like to pair up with a few other counselors to make sure that the money is a bit more. Also, we have a program called Council Mentorship Program, where you can mentor a student from your own faculty. So again, this is something that is not promoted very heavily. We'll be looking into enhancing those programs this year as a committee, and hopefully you can come to us your input, to give us your input. And also, we talked about any committee chair transitions. So currently, there are no transitions in place for all the committees. And we were considering introducing a structured year-end report, and as well as committee goals documents. So this is something that would be quite a drastic change because we would be changing standing orders in order to require all committees to submit a goals document, let's say by the end of the first trimester, and that will increase accountability, as well as it will make CAC's job way easier because we already have tasked with evaluating each committee. How did that happen? That's crazy. Okay.
Thank you very much, Councillor Binchik. Governor Hansra, would you like to make a report?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Over the past month, I've been meeting with a number of board of representatives. Over the past week, some of you have already had a couple of one-on-ones in front of you. I may will be meeting with very shortly this week. If I haven't contacted you this week, I'll be in contact with you shortly. President Lano, I had a meeting with the GSA president, who is also a graduate student association president, representative tomorrow morning. President Harley will be meeting on Thursday as well. We have a board dinner to go to on Thursday, which will be our first day of that working event as well. And thigh student council to look at the lavish dinners that are presented to the board and be critical of that. And then Friday is our first board meeting. Before that, I will also be meeting with the Ashwa rep as well. And I will be meeting with the board of governors secretary for coffee on Monday. Why the secretary? One of the words of wisdom I got from one of my law professors, always the best friend to the secretary. The secretary is the gateway to everybody. So that's why it's important for me to build a relationship with the secretary. That's all it's all thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
For Progressive Council, what does ASHWA stand for?
ASHWA, thank you. That's a really great question. ASHWA is the academic staff representative. And the representative for that is William Brandon. He's a professor of faculty of law, talking criminal law, telling everything they know about criminal law. So he is their representative. Over time, I will be meeting with him. The goal is throughout the summer, after I've done with my council one-on-ones, the goal will be to work towards every board of governor member as well, particularly the member ones. And I'll talk to you about the obstacles about that Willie and I face, either through our presentation council or at our retreat, because there are a number of obstacles. Some of these members I have connection with indirect connection with, so they'll be easier to just call. Willie and I, also, there's another one actually. Willie and I are still meeting. President Lau and I,
yes.
Are being, are still texting.
Sorry, Councillor Grookey has risen on a point of order.
It was a point of order, it was just time.
Yes, this is also the opportunity for the governor to give his inaugural address, so I'm giving Governor Hasseres 6 minutes.
A major obstacle that President Lau and I, we have technically not been appointed by the government based on my understanding. So this is kind of getting iffy, because if we don't get appointed by government, we will technically have not be able to vote on anything in Friday. So I think President Lau and I will be discussing, we'll need to be discussing that ASAP to get our official word from the council from Premier Hancock ASAP. So that's something to be concerned about. So hopefully we can get that in that Friday so we can vote as well.
Thank you very much. Governor Hansra, do any other board or committee representatives wish to make a report? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm the chair of Grant Allocation Committee. And tomorrow we have our meeting at 6 p.m. in sub 608, I think. And we'll have two staff members from the Access Fund, which is an SU service that's being acquired by the university now. And they'll be updating us on what's been going on with that. So if you're interested in that, please come and join us.
What duration? When was the time again?
6 p.m.
Thank you, Councillor Huang. Any other board and committee representatives? Seeing none, we will move to question period, beginning first with submitted written questions from Councillor Muhammad. Question number one is directed to Vice President Hodgson from Councillor Muhammad. What is the timeline for the single-served beverage contract? More specifically, has there been any discussion so far? I will allow Councillor Muhammad to ask his follow-up question after Vice President Hutchins gives his initial answer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the question, Councillor Muhammad. To my knowledge, there's been no movement on the issue so far. Everything I've heard is the ourselves and the university just talk of going to an RFP. Again, I would reiterate we were gone on a retreat for 6-7 days and haven't been in the office. I can try to get more information and come back to what the current status is sometime next week, but I know the university wanted to take more time on this project. The person in the role who will be doing managing the contract negotiations is new and wanted additional time to look at the current contract and analyze the situation.
We should have a follow-up. That's my honor. Is that answer sufficient?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Hutchins, and Councillor Muhammad, for your written question. I like written questions. Next written question from, once again, Councillor Muhammad, to President Lau. Will tuition be going up for domestic students this year? Once again, I'll follow up once President Lau has answered the first question.
Thanks for the question, Councillor Muhammad. Unfortunately, there has been no conversation yet around the tuition proposal for 2015-16. On the bright side, maybe tuition won't go up. But on a more serious note, I will be contacting the Provost and the Vice President of Finance and Administration in the near future to ask that they present to Students' Council once they do have a proposal put together.
Just a follow-up.
Yep.
In the university's comprehensive, they say that they want to increase tuition by CPI. Like, are you aware of that?
I am aware of that.
Is that, like, concrete? Like, is that just, like, a guiding document, or is that, like, concrete?
You're correct in saying that the Comprehensive Institutional Plan is a guiding document. It's written at the board level, but the tuition proposals come from the Provost and, or more specifically, the Vice President, Finance and Administration's office.
Just another follow-up. Like, did the government ever unfreeze the tuition cap that they put on?
No. It is still a regulation, from my understanding. But actually, one opportunity that has been presented to us is that our provincial lobby group, TOD, has a seat on the tuition and fees working group, which was arranged and chaired by the Ministry of Innovation and Advanced Education. They're planning to wrap up this discussion by June 30th, which is just under 2 months' time, and they will be talking about a more long-term strategy for tuition and fees.
All right. Thank you very much. And the final written question, once again, goes to President Lau from Councillor Muhammad. Will the international differential fee be going up this year?
Likewise, the international differential fee discussion would be included in the tuition proposal, and that is one we have yet to start.
Do we have a contingency plan to whether or not it goes up again?
I think on the bright side, it is something that's on our radar with pretty much the whole exec team. We're also lucky to have three members of the executive of the International Students Association with us here at Council, doubling up as roles of student counselors. With that being said, we have just returned back to office, and we are looking forward to working out a strategy with our advocacy office.
Just a follow-up. Is this going to be headed by the ISA, like, are we going to take responsibility on that, or are we going to be doing our own advocacy separate from the ISA? Like, what's the relationship?
I'm pretty sure the role that the Board of Governors with Governor Hans, as well as myself, will be one that is slightly separate from the International Students Association, and we are interested in using as many diverse resources as we can to achieve our goal.
My last follow-up question for question period. So with the new tuition policy, will that affect our advocacy strategy in any way?
Hopefully with our new tuition policy, it will make advocacy easier this year.
How?
It will allow me to, for those of you who are new counselors and weren't present last year as we made amendments to the tuition policy, one amendment that was made, I'll speak to the principles of the tuition amendment or the policy amendment. Previously, the tuition policy would state that Students Union would fight any tuition increase, and the issue that our exec had last year with this policy was that even if we wanted to fight for a lower increase, that would essentially be against policy. So that policy that was in place essentially took away any ability we had to negotiate. Even though this didn't stop past presidents from trying to negotiate, they were well aware that their actions were putting themselves or were compromising their own status and were putting themselves at risk. So because of that, we made a change to the tuition policy with the principle that Students' Council would work towards a 0% increase, allowing room for the president and the and the board rep to negotiate.
All right. That closes written questions. Does anyone have oral questions? Yes.
I would like to ask Councilor Vincic to finish her CAC report.
Thank you,
Councilor
Jenna. Okay, so when it comes to the formal transitions and the goal documents as well as the formal evaluations for each committee, this is a pretty big thing, and I'm saying it right now to put it out and to send it for you to complete it. We'll be discussing it more during next Tuesday's meeting. So please come. You can feel very strongly about this idea. And of course, before we change the standing orders, we'll probably bring it back to council once again. But if you do feel very strongly about this, please let me know. And also, we discussed the length of student council meetings. The meetings can go much longer until 12 or even 1 a.m. sometimes. So we were discussing different possibilities, and we were hoping to check how open council would be to, for example, specifying the meeting to be, for instance, from 6 till 10 p.m. And then if there's still more on the agenda, we would carry it over to next week and call a regular meeting on a Tuesday on which it would usually not be. So in that sense, we would be having a little bit more meetings, but there would be no frustration about staying here till 11 o'clock or rushing through the agenda or perhaps limiting speaking terms on items that are very important. So again, if you feel very strongly about this, please let me know, because those are quite controversial topics that I'm sure will eventually spawn a lot of discussion. So just putting it out there right now for you to come to meet. Also, we talked about establishing different goals for the year. So CAC is really hoping to go above and beyond than what is usually required from the committee. So again, that will be based on SCET's recommendation document. And I am really looking forward to you hearing the presentation next year and perhaps seeing what problems we faced as a council last year, so that we can just start off on a whole another note with another energy. Okay, I think that's about it, and I hope to see you in 2 weeks at 4:30 in SAP 608. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Bincher. Councillor Brookie.
I have a question for Capture. This is something that's been done in the past, and I wasn't confident enough last year, but would CAC be willing to entertain the idea of having a council meeting at Augustana?
Thank you for the question. I assume there is a large support from what I heard for the idea. May I have a follow-up? I know we cannot go back and forth, but would Councillor imagine just one meeting or
I was thinking the second. Oh, can we go back?
I'll allow it.
The second meeting in September, because by then we'll have cooled down. Midterms haven't started yet. And Augustana will be in full enough swing that there'll actually be life there. Whereas in the summer, there's a couple research assistants and a pop.
Perfect. I'm working yet. Okay, we'll bring the discussion at our tech meeting on May 20th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Horvath.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is to Councillor Hodgson.
Vice President Hodgson.
Vice President, sorry. I was just wondering, because I realized how much involvement FAs are in on campus, whether we could obtain some sort of help with parking, maybe a temporary parking pass during the evenings or something for certain FAs execs, just because we're planning certain events and need to bring in materials, it would really help us out having, I don't know, some hour time limit of a parking pass.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Councilor Horta, for the question. There is that program in effect, essentially, for councillors currently. You can apply for an evening parking pass on council evenings. I can look into it. My only initial point I would bring up, and I would involve Vice President Orzik as well with this. I'll defer to Vice President Orzik.
Thank you very much for the question. I would very much encourage you to bring it up at Council of Faculty Associations. Council of Faculty Associations is a board that you will sit on,
Yes.
As maybe you say. And Council of Faculty Associations is an advisory board to the Executive Committee and broadly the Students' Council. So this is a recommendation that both the senior board is in favor of. That is basically a recommendation to Students' Council. And I will refer the rest of my time to Vice President Diaz.
My thought on it is that I'm pretty sure the parking is handled by the Civil Services.
Yeah, it's not. We are not in control of it. It's something we can bring to the Civil Services. It's not for, but, yeah.
That'll be the argument. Go back to the exemption, then we'll go talk to
Did you say point of information?
No, I said thank you for the
information. Oh, okay. Sorry. My apologies. Sorry, just to clarify something, earlier during my presentation, I said that we wouldn't be able to defer speaking turns. Because this is question period, I'm allowing it. But during actual debate on motions, I will not be allowing it. I also allowed it during nominations just because, to me, nominations are slightly informal. So, but during, don't get me wrong, during debates, I won't be allowing deferring of any speaking turns. President Lau, sorry.
During the clarification, can we stop the timer? Mr. Warner.
President Lau.
To the GAP chair, what is GAP and where can we find its recommendations? And if you wouldn't mind speaking up a little bit louder, that would be
interesting. Oh, perfect. I didn't know I was not speaking loud enough. Thank you for that question and the notes. So SCAT was a committee formed last year. It consisted of, I believe, 8 students. We had student at large members as well as council representatives. And we talked about ways in which we can enhance the council's visibility, connection with the students, and to just make sure that the connection between the electorate and councils is the same throughout the year, that it doesn't drop right after the elections, and that we continue to see feedback. And not only the connection with the students, but also with faculty associations, with international students. We also explored ways in which to better inform student body. So we talked about class talks. We talked about setting up a new Facebook page. We talked about counselors attending different kinds of events and having programming and venues. Explore different options in which counselors can come to events as counselors, not necessarily just as students, and perhaps have a specific role at those events for counselors so that they can better connect with the students. Just recently, we have all of SCAT's minutes as well as the official documents on the SU website. And you'll have to go to, I believe, ad hoc committees or board committees. I'm sure you'll find it. I've been there. It's all there. I make sure all the minutes are there. Also, you will find the official document, which is what I really wanted to look at in our late editions, and of course it will carry over to the main agenda of the May 20th meeting. So definitely please go over it. It's a beautiful document that relates to you much more than any kind of document you can possibly find, because it deals with just council and the way you connect with your constituents, the way you spend your time on council, and the way you communicate with DFAs, the international students. So, and I'll, of course, be hosting a presentation next council meeting that will be a summary of this lengthy document. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Binchik. With that, the first 15 minutes of question period have expired, unless I see there are currently 3 members of Students' Council on my speaking list. If I don't see 5 placards, I will consider. All right, moving on. Councillor Sleeman, do you have a question?
I was
going to
ask about Councillor Benjamin. About the you're saying that we're going to be all council to this.
Thank you.
for your question. And this is exactly what I'm looking for, like engagement and feedback, because we will be proposing it as CAC, and I'd rather have all of the little questions picked out right now and go into a three-hour discussion during the next meeting. So how I believe it would be structured right now is simply carry over what is left on the agenda for that particular meeting. Oh, sorry, was there another portion of the question
there?
Okay.
Thank
you.
Governor
Hansrud. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's John King's book that I think y'all was great for that. Now, revert back to my original question, which is for the Cabinet Chair, and that is, how bound are we by our meeting locations starting in September?
Okay. Thank you for your question. So actually, when it comes to the meeting location, it is not the responsibility of the catcher, it is the responsibility of the administrative assistant. However, I would be more than happy to explore further your question and perhaps send you an email or send an email to council with the next CAC agenda, just a clarification on that part.
Council will permit me, I can provide some details that Nicole gave me before the meeting started. So as council is aware, starting September, we won't be meeting in this room anymore. We'll be meeting in ETLC, according to the schedule. However, there is a possibility that we may be able to meet in sub, in the lower level meeting rooms, potentially if those are finished. So that is also an option, or potentially, if they are completed.
Could we explore potentially other options? My concern with ETLC is that, especially that, well, first of all, it's a lecture hall. As a student, it's governance. Essentially, that's what we are, quasi-governance structure. We're supposed to be public, we're supposed to be transparent. And being stuck in a room in a corner is somewhat troublesome and concerning for me. I'd be even more interested in exploring opportunities, including alumni group, even substage. There are some issues regarding, for example, in-camera sessions, but just exploring other options. Even Law Center has a number of great boardrooms that top notch, or even an ECA, some of the big rooms, somewhere where it's more of a where we can create a more an environment that promotes discussions rather than lectures, and as well as more accessible to a wider number of students.
So I would basically encourage any counselors who have any ideas, like yourself, Governor Hesra, to just email me with your ideas. I'm hoping at some point during the summertime to actually go on a little adventure of my own and see if there are any classrooms that would be more suitable for Students' Council.
If the speaker would permit, if you like, for example, Law Center, we have a new dean coming in on July 1st, and I have to meet with him regarding law student tuition anyways.
Do you want to take our task about the room?
And I can ask about the room.
Yes, yes.
No, I was giving the Board of Governors.
All right. Moving on. Councillor Binchik had a question.
Yes, it was a follow-up on Councillor Scorpet's question. I was just wondering, because when it comes to the parking passes, they are available, and this is a question to the floor, or more so the executive as a whole. The buses are available from 5:30 p.m., but for example, let's say that students or councillors are really eager about attending TAC every single Tuesday, and with that, in that case, we cannot really park. So is there a possibility of changing the hours, because we cannot really benefit from the pass at all if we want to meet for CAC?
So I'll direct that question to Vice President Hodgson. To keep in mind for council, please direct your question to a specific individual during the question period. So,
thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Councillor Bishop, for the question. That's something I can follow up on with Ancillary Services on. I don't know what the current structure of our parking pass agreement looks like, but it's definitely something we can look into. Keep in mind, any time we have to, by giving a longer hours of a parking pass, it's deferred revenue from the university side. So I can bring it up in a conversation with them, but I'll try to find out more for you.
Point of information.
Yes.
Many times in the evenings, the parking lots are filled, so they're not really losing money by giving up a space to potential, but it's never filled to the brim.
Yes, Councilor Grilke. Thank you. We'll move on to the next question, which, in fact, is for Councilor Grilke. You have a question.
I realize my question would border on debate, so I'll just go to that next week.
Thank you, Councilor Grilke. Councilor Mahoney.
This question is directed towards Governor Hatstra. You mentioned speaking to the community on law student tuition.
Yep.
Last council year, the law students came to council and asked for a tuition increase so that they could stay competitive or something. Before you speak with the dean, because I feel that there will be discussions around this topic, before you speak to the dean, will you come to council before making suggestions, negotiations around law student tuition? Like, what's your course of action for that?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What I've done on this, I've started dialogue with the Law Student Association. The new dean does not take effect in office until July 1st. He will be gone. He'll be here intermittently during July, and he won't actually be fully viable until August. Based on my understanding with this budget, so this is hearsay, it's not reliable fully, is that law students faculty law will be seeking a tuition increase. Now, is this a bad thing? Necessarily no. If this can help reduce the burden on international students, I think this is something that an alternative stream that could be looked at as well. So my consultation will primarily be based on law students as well. I will consult the executive. I will have strong discussions with President Lau. I will. It's not my responsibility to bring to council, as you know per bylaw. No faculty association can bring. No faculty association can publicly promote a tuition increase unless council promotes it. But however, I have been very transparent throughout my term as a law counselor, as a board of governors. I made this clear to President Lau as well. Foreseeing the faculty of law, my fellow law students, if they are in favor of this tuition increase, as I do a referendum, I will at the Board of Governors level be supporting that tuition increase.
Yes, Councilor Grouquet.
Isn't the point of us voting on and establishing political policies so that the Board of Governors rep and the executives can act without having to bring every topic back to council?
Requesting tradition.
It's a point of political policies why we write them, the reason so that the Board of Governors rep and our five executives can act in their day-to-day lives, meeting with people, and not having to bring all strategies back.
Based on my reading, I haven't read bylaw. This is my fault that I haven't read. I don't believe the Board of Governors representative is bound as strictly to bylaw as the president. The president is the executive. The Board of Governors representative is merely an officer to student council. So there is a difference. There's been given more leeway to the Board of Governors representative. This is done traditionally for many reasons. And part of the reason rationale behind it was because there were strict rules on the president, it was a great leverage for the Board of Governors representative to speak freely and independently. With this, and so give the students another perspective, and push things in certain areas where the president couldn't, even if they wanted. It means the students would want to do something based on policy and based on council. They couldn't, yet the Board of Governors representative could. So that's traditionally, historically, what it's been. However, as I've talked to President Lau and the executives, all know this as well, I will be working very closely with the executives, and I will. There's no point in having two distinct voices. President Lau and I have agreed that
you know, I'll speak generally at the board with the executives, and I have come to a consensus on. So that's, but outside of law student tuition, law student tuition, regardless of what the executives say, regardless of whatever council says, if the faculty of law wants this, I will be pushing for law student tuition. I will take you back, give me the flat, whatever you want. I accept that. But this, I think there are a number of tangible benefits to law students, to international students, and to the university by this. The University of Law, Faculty of Law, is in financial trouble. And if you want to have the best law student, you want to have the best university, I think if the numbers make sense, I'm likely to be supporting law students, which means I just made your first house something more interesting.
Thank you, Governor Ansara. At this point, because of what time it is and how much time we have left in our second period of question period, I'll be limiting questions to 30 seconds and responses to 1 minute. Next person on my speaker's list is Councillor Farooq.
Okay, thank you. My question is to Councillor Mohammed on his personal opinion and opinion as a counselor on law student tuition increase.
I'm confused because FAs have to abide by SU political policies, and the current SU political policy is vague because it says the students' union will not support increasing tuition. So if the Law Students Association did go and ask for a tuition increase, they'd be breaking our political policies, and they could potentially go to die for it. So in that perspective, I just believe this is ill-advised, and that we need to rework by law, and I advise the executive to do something about this because this is affecting the affordability of education, and the province can go, they want their tuition increase, and must increase arts, science, engineering, whatever. So, yeah, I'm just, that's my personal view, and actually, we can turn. Thank
you very much.
Point of order.
Yes.
That's not allowed.
Thank you very much, Vice President Hodgson. Governor Hansra, you have the next question.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll just take this time to clarify.
No, you will not.
Okay.
This is time for questions on clarification.
Okay, yeah. This question is for Councillor Mohammed. Are you aware that
point of order?
Yes, Vice President Hodgson, on a point of order.
You can't. Is the councilor aware that we have using a question to make a point? Like,
No,
it has to be done before
in
council.
No, it has.
Thank you, Vice President Hodgson. Now, my interpretation of question period, as well as Robert's rules and standing orders, is that, yes, that does apply during points of information or requests of information. I would strongly advise the governor, as well as other members of Students' Council, to not phrase a question in "Is the counselor aware of continuing their question?" So please rephrase your question.
Would the counselor be more amenable if there was a referendum by law students that was unanimously supportive this?
The bylaw is black and white, and since FAs have to abide by SU political policy.
Thank you very much. Councillor Jaddick.
This question is for Vice President Diaz. I was just wondering if there's any plans this year to reform SGS.
SGS reform, that's a pretty broad statement. I'm very interested in improving their step. I'm already in conversations with the students and students regarding student policy, specifically the event policy, the alcohol policy, and so on. All those conversations are really ongoing, and all the stakeholders are really interested in providing a system that is easy for students groups to access and fair within its scope. So these things are not going to be reduced since the policy is only passed last year. Also, we added a club spirit coordinator and a communications assistant to new positions within SGS to hopefully reduce the communications burden. Also, a recommendation from the past Student Group Executive Council Committee to the current Student Group Executive Council Committee, which is a group held by the Student Services. It's hopefully going to become an outward-facing group, like a liaison kind of group, so that Student Services has more student input on their operations.
Thank you, Vice President Diaz. Time has elapsed. And with that, there are no other people on my speaking list, so we will move on and closed question period. Moving on to item 7H on the main agenda, Hodgson moves to create the dedicated fee unit task force based on the attached terms of reference. The terms of reference are attached in the main agenda as document 14-01.01. Is there a seconder for this particular motion? Councilor Farouk? Just give me 1 second, Vice President Hodgson. I'm sure you'd like to introduce.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the Dedicated Fee Unit Task Force is a project I started while on council last year, and I will address that first. My goal last year was to have it wrapped up and have a set of recommendations to council. Unfortunately, due to some issues with being able to have meetings in a timely manner and finding times for meetings, we weren't able to get a report out before council ended. We were never able to have a final wrap-up meeting, and I believe there's still a considerable amount of work to do on this topic. So this is a project I have a really big vested interest in. Essentially, what the task force would be doing is looking at kind of from a philosophical perspective of what DFUs are and what it means to give our taxation power to a group by referenda. Some of the things we'll be discussing that have actually already been brought up in this meeting is the issues and difficulties in DFU running a referendum, and some of the regulations surrounding how their fee operates. So if you're interested in learning about DFUs on a broader perspective or have an interest in the whole DFU issue, I highly recommend you sit on it. There will be two council members appointed, as well as two members representing DFUs, and one member from audit and myself as chair. The conversation last year was really productive and pretty high level. I was very happy with it. We just didn't get to have enough of it. And please ask me any questions about, I can go into a bit of the conversations we started if you'd like, or anything else you'd like to know.
Thank you, Vice President Hodgson. I will now open the floor to any debate. Yes, Councillor Farouk.
Questions of clarification on the memberships, because we have one representative from the audit committee, two from dedicated fee unit organizations, and two from Students Council. First question is, as being a member of the audit committee and being the chair, would that mean that I just assume that representative position, or does the audit committee choose a person to go? We would really appreciate that someone to go. All right. And second question on the two representatives from the dedicated B unit organization. How are they chosen? And like, is this like former IT organization already built, already made, can you just clarify on that?
Councilor Muhammad.
Yeah. So I just wanted to clarify just a concept about this task force. The title says review, dedicated unit review task force, but the scope and the purpose indicates that it could potentially have a mandate to change the DFU structure. So I just wanted clarification. Like, is the end goal is to be kind of what SCET was, where they just come back with a big report and the year after something happens? Or is there a plan for something to happen within this year? So it's just going to be something like SCET, where they had a very detailed report, gave it to the next council, just seeing what happened with that. I just want that point clarified, because the scope is kind of just beyond what they're going to do after they're done.
Vice President Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So to address Councillor Farouk's first question, the DFU selection process, how it worked last year was fairly informal. An email was sent to all DFU organizations with the terms of reference and notifying them that this task force would be happening and asking basically for if any of these organizations was interested in sending a representative. We were then going to do a preferential ballot. Only two organizations responded that they were interested. Most of the organizations either indicated like a non-response or they were happy with who had already stepped forward. So I will be following a similar process to that. I would like to try and potentially get them all in a room. I don't know if that, the feasibility of that, it's just a lot of people and to coordinate a time might be tough, but I will be trying to contact each group individually and just see their thoughts if they want a representative, and then we'll have kind of form a group and have a ballot on who they would like to send. To address Councillor Muhammad's question, yeah, the scope can be quite broad, so some two of the conversations. One of the things I, at least I think I would like to see out of it is a better structure in bylaw for DFUs. Right now, the bylaw structure is kind of all over the place, a little bit from 2100 and 2200, just 2200, a little bit from 3000, a little bit from 6000. One of the ideas we had was to create a 6000 series bylaw that is all things DFU to make it a clearer process. Another kind of higher level concept we talked about is, what does it mean for a DFU like WUSP versus a DFU like the Gateway? These are two different organizations. One is more similar to a granting body, or like Golden Bears Panda Legacy Fund or Campus Rec Enhancement Fund. These are granting bodies, whereas the others are organized operational organizations that we fund their operational budget. So these are two different organizations. Should they be treated the same? So the scope can be quite broad. There are some broader questions to answer. As for my expectations out of it, my deadline for recommendation to council is August 30th, and while those may not be concrete bylaw changes, they will be close to. And by that I mean not necessarily we're going to hand council rewritten bylaw, but I would like it to be fairly close to that, like almost first principles, maybe even first principles.
Thank you, Mr. Hudson. Councilor Glenn.
I'm just wondering why the Grant Allocation Committee doesn't have a membership on this task force, because they also deal with the FTUs. So there's one
question. Oh, yeah, I can't.
Councilor Grilke.
I defer to Vice
President. I have another one.
He does have another speaking turn. He's just choosing to use it wisely. Is there any other debate? Vice President Hobson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the question, Councillor Hyde. So, basically, membership issues, having too many people on the task force makes it harder to meet. GAC does have a big vested interest in the outcomes of this committee, and I would invite yourself or a member of GAC to come to all meetings. Again, these are just the voting members, and in order, we had issues with quorum before, and in order to kind of avoid those issues, I think keeping the membership on the lower end is the right way to go forward. But I will also try to keep you apprised of all the proceedings here and give you updates. Yeah, GAC does have a very large vested interest in the outcome of this.
Thank you very much, Vice President Hodgson. With that, it is now 10 o'clock, and I will now take attendance. And then after I take attendance, we will recess for 15 minutes. So, top down.
To suspend standing orders and council recess.
What would you like to suspend within? Do you want to just?
Well, I would like the council recess. Do I need to suspend standing orders for that?
So you just want to suspend standing orders for the recess?
Yes. So there's no recess.
Okay. Is there a second? All right. All those in favor? Perfect. I will still take attendance as it is required in standing orders. President Lau.
Present.
Vice President Orczyk.
Present.
Vice President Kinda.
Present.
Vice President Hodgson.
Present.
Vice President Diaz.
Present.
Governor Hansera.
Present.
Ms. Wei. Councillor Chen.
Present.
Councillor Muhammad.
Present.
Councillor Sleeman. Councillor Zhang.
Present.
Councillor Jaddick.
Present.
Councillor Grilke.
Present.
Councillor Bryce. Councillor Babatunde.
Present.
Councillor Horvat.
Present.
Councillor Fidowski.
Present.
Mr. Malik for Councillor Jacobson.
Present.
Councillor Wong.
Present.
Councillor Gard, Councillor Gore, Councillor Khan, Councillor Pusey. Sorry, Ms. Madamin Shawanda for Councillor Morris. Councillor Makhdoum, Councillor Bhatia, Councillor Hooper, Councillor Champagne, Councillor Binchik.
Present.
Councillor Zinedine. Present. Councillor Kwan.
Present.
Councillor Peak.
Present.
Councillor Huang.
Present.
Councillor Farouk.
Yep.
Councillor Hudson.
Present.
Perfect. We will continue. I currently have no one on my speakers list. Does anyone wish to add any points of debate? Seeing none, question is put. Just to reread the motion, Hodgson, Farouk move to create the dedicated fee unit task force based on the attached terms of reference. All those in favor? Division has been called. All right, so when your name is called, please answer with yes, no, or abstention. A reminder that your vote can be changed at any time up until the vote results have been announced. President Lau.
Yes.
Vice President Orczyk.
Yes.
Vice President Kinda.
Yep.
Vice President Hodgson.
In favor.
Vice President Diaz.
Yay.
Governor Hansera.
In favor.
Sway, Councillor Chen.
Yeah.
Councillor Muhammad.
Again.
Councillor Sleeman. Yeah. Councillor Zhang.
Yes.
Councillor Jaddick.
Yes.
Councillor Gruelke.
In favor.
Councillor Bryce. Councillor Babatunde.
Yeah.
Councillor Horvat. Councillor Fidosky.
In favor.
Mr. Malik.
Oui. Oui.
Councillor Wong.
Aye.
Councillor Gore.
In favor.
Ms. Madamin Shawanda.
Yes.
Councillor Raftoon, Councillor Bhatia, Councillor Hooper, Councillor Champagne, Councillor Binchik.
In favor.
Councillor Zinedine.
Yes.
Councillor Kwan.
Yes.
Councillor Peak.
Yes.
Councillor Huang.
In favor.
Councillor Farouk.
Yes.
Councillor Hudson. All right. All right, that motion carries with 23 in favor, 1 opposed, and no abstentions. Moving on to item 7I, Hodgson moves to appoint 2 members of council to the dedicated fee unit task force. Is there a seconder for this motion? President Lau. Vice President Hodgson, would you care to introduce?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, like I said in my earlier introduction, this will be a task force that is going to be taking a broad level view at DFUs and try to resolve some of the outstanding issues. I really enjoyed the conversation we had last year, and I'm really looking forward to continuing it. It's an area I'm particularly passionate about. So, I'll just let you, anyone in the room, ask me questions if they're interested. The time commitment will be a meeting likely every 2 weeks, maybe a bit more if we need it. Go ahead and ask me any questions.
I'll allow anyone from the floor to ask questions to Vice President Hodgson. Councillor Gruelke.
Did you say that you wanted recommendations by August, end of August?
Yeah.
So would the commitment, can I follow up? Would the commitment end at the end of August?
Yeah.
Any other questions? Seeing none, I will open the floor to nominations. Councillor Muhammad.
I'd like to nominate myself.
Councillor Huang.
I'd like to nominate myself.
Vice President Hodgson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to nominate Councillor Brophy.
I would like to respectfully decline.
Any other nominations? Seeing none, I believe there was two members. So congratulations to Councillor Mohammed and Councillor Wang. All right. Finally, we are on to item 7J. Grulke moves to approve Students' Council standing orders. Is there a seconder for this motion? Governor Hansra. Councilor Grulke, would you care to introduce?
The standing orders of Students Union are what the rules we follow to exist. If any of you sit on committees, standing orders for committees are adopted at the first meeting. So I think it's imperative that we adopt our standing orders in order to continue as the Students Union.
Thank you very much. Is there any debate on the motion? So exciting. Seeing none, yeah, President Lau.
I speak in favor of this motion. I suggest councillors that have any new ideas or proposals to make to bring those to CAC for discussion.
Thank you very much, President Lau. Seeing no further debate, the question is put. All those in favor of approving Students' Council standing orders, please raise your placards. All those opposed? Any abstentions that wish to be noted? Wonderful. We will adjourn because attendance has already been taken at 10:08 p.m.